All right. Let's do it, shall we?
All right.
Who says all right like that?
All right. Hey, it no, is.
Yeah. But there's a fighting game that's like, all right. Like, fuck.
Terry Bogard?
No. It's like Fighter's History guy, maybe.
Yeah.
Roy or something.
There is
like that.
No, I know what you're talking about. There's a couple of.
No, it's Street Fighter 1.
All right.
Yeah.
Ryu.
Yeah,
when Ryu wins,
one,
he goes,
oh, right.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I'm doing.
Street Fighter 1.
So I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. That was great.
Time to go. Hi. Hey.
Hello.
What up?
I love how Death Cargo is just...
It's just chilling. Got a physical copy of Death Cargo sitting here now.
No, you know, I'm glad it's always there.
Yeah, I know. It's a fifth member. It's... that's what it's here to
do. It's also the fourth.
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
So, No.
Just sitting next to this game box, and the game box has headphones on.
That damn straight.
Why not?
I'm not going to disrespect the fucking
the cargo.
Necrostorm. Necrostorm. Did I get it right? Yes, I did.
Yeah, you did.
Nice.
Necrostorm sounds like an event, an image.
or
what you got?
Or Valiant. If
Valiant,
you remember,
sure.
At New York Comic Con, they had this summer event they were pushing,
was it
something really edgy sounding.
Oh,
and
someone let us know, maybe.
And we walked by, and they were really trying to rope people in hard,
like, current
for their summer
Valiant
event.
Comics has
the
an
end
event
of everything
going on, like, either last month or this month or coming up.
It sounded so final.
Damn it, you were totally right. I pointed that out. Oh, well.
It was a big one. Anyway.
Necrostorm starts here. Like, that's like in Supreme Number Zero.
Yeah, you got to know where to start.
Yeah. Supreme Number Zero is where it starts.
Edge, double edge.
Yeah, exactly. Although the DC event metal is literally that. Everything's mm-hmm. metal, mm-hmm. like Dark Knight metal, Justice League metal, and the Batman stuff is he's fighting a different demonic armored form of himself that's a different fracture of his psychology.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here's his guilt here, mm-hmm. and they're all like bosses.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, Scott Snyder was like, man, I've been wanting to write this forever. And I'm like, since when? Since you were 15? Because it sounds like, I mean, it's cool, but it's very un-DC to me.
Speaking of armored bosses,
yes.
For those of you who are tuned in visually, I'm sorry to disappoint that I'm not wearing a Rathalos set.
No, you're not. Not yet.
Right away, right here, live.
But Halloween is coming.
We're working on it. It's going to take a minute.
You're dressing as female Monster Hunter.
Oh, my God. yeah, that's cool. All right. Well, I don't know. There's a million directions to start here.
Yeah.
Where do we what?
Well, you're what? Monster Hunter, Wooly. What's the deal with Monster Hunter?
Monster Hunter is, as far as I'm concerned, a fighting game character.
That's fine.
Oh, people are gonna love this one. Yep.
No, that's a fighting game character.
That's a fighting game character
before
with a lot of good moves.
Before Marvel Infinite, you were even unsure how to pronounce the name.
Monhunt? Yeah.
Oh, you mean Monster Hunter from Marvel.
Yeah, that's correct. That's where she comes from.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan. I really like her. And, I've officially, I think, dropped Thanos for her.
Yeah, no, I saw, team. Like, Thanos no longer best friend.
Yeah. So, but basically, like, I've been spending a lot of time, you know, getting good at Marvel, getting better at Marvel, and trying to, like, you know, not be completely free. Mainly,
always a noble goal to not be completely free.
Yeah.
That's what I go for.
And right now, I feel like I'm doing all right as far as, like, Montreal is concerned. But we'll have to
You're like, I've pretty much dominated most of the city.
I mean,
I've gone to different Marvel gyms.
There's been the whatever. I've won against most.
You feel
people.
Good in this city.
I feel pretty good. I feel
if you,
pretty
if you
good.
Go to different cities, you don't know.
Yeah, obviously it's not as huge as a group as like say Street Fighter is, but like I'm doing all right.
Okay.
But the real question is, Canada Cup is next week, and I'm heading down to that, and that's where the Battle for the Stones is taking place.
Ah, I've heard a lot about
it. So I'm gonna be entering to see.
Do you get the shitty eggs from the collector's edition?
No.
Do they throw that in?
No.
As a freebie?
It's way cooler, actually.
No. Whatever the actual cool thing is, that's fine. But you should also get the shitty eggs.
See, like, I would like to think you get an actual nice version of the eggs.
Nah.
You know? Sure. But
that would be terrible.
What's interesting about the tournament is that it's like, I mean, it's an official Marvel tournament, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever. But what you get at each one of the events that takes place,
you just get one.
You get one stone.
Okay, that's way cooler.
Okay, so to kind of break this down for you a little bit, it's not as simple as it sounds. Let me see if I can pull up the site here just to show you. So it's the Marvel premiere event, and what they're doing with it is the there's a different stone
gets
for
done
each
at different events.
Event. Mind Stone is going to Canada Cup, which is next week.
Right.
The winner of each stone gets an ability to use in tournament.
Shut up. What's an example?
Okay, an example here. So far, here's what they've revealed. Right. Space Stone allows the stone bearer to swap their position in the bracket and face a different opponent at an equal position. So if you decide to call it right now and you have it, you go Space Stone, I'm using it, and you get to change your position in the bracket to somewhere else in the exact same spot.
This is like at CEO or something, if someone had a Money in the Bank briefcase.
Exactly.
That's all I didn't know.
Right? No one knew because no one's paying attention. You know? And it's fine. I'm not going to tell people pay attention.
But
this is a tournament with some really cool shit going on.
Okay. Is that all they've announced or more?
There's totally more.
Okay. But I'll just jump ahead. Is any of this considered like that's fucking unfair? Or is it all like, yeah, that's fine?
Dude, in the context of
a tournament.
Of this, of all of these things existing,
yeah,
they're not meant to be fair. They're meant to be
no, but is one of them considered to be actual? Like that is unfair.
Let's go through what's revealed so far. So the Space Stone lets you switch any point in the bracket.
That's actually good because it goes with the theme of space.
Exactly,
you're switching
positions. Dude. It's really a fun idea.
Okay,
Soul Stone now resurrects your soul from the from death.
Raise one of their losses.
And basically lets you come back from any 3 out of 5 set. So I assume that like early on in the bracket, if it's pools and you're doing 2 out of 3, then maybe I'm wrong about this, but if you're doing 2 out of 3, then it doesn't count. Once you get to 3 out of 5, you can come back from a defeat and basically undo a loss, which is huge as well. They're all really fucking useful.
So yeah, it says resurrect your soul.
Yes. Okay. Time Stone.
Why you stop someone else from using their stone?
Yes. So if you have the Time Stone,
Counterbreakers.
If you have the Time Stone, you get to stop someone else who has a stone from using it for one match. So you can lock down anyone else's ability with that stone, right?
Okay.
Okay. And like each of these stones has gone to a winner so far.
Mm-hmm.
Power Stone was revealed this weekend.
Okay.
And Power Stone was revealed at Redwood Proving Grounds. They haven't updated the website.
Damn.
But the Power Stone allows you to get the first touch in the match, which is huge in a game like Marvel.
I was going to say in like Street Fighter V.
You're like, yeah, okay.
But in Marvel, it's like you can get killed in 2 touches.
Because your set play begins now. You get to do your ridiculous setup and then have them basically pop out and then reset them and possibly take the whole match from first touch.
Wow.
It guarantees first touch.
This is the best thing about the game.
I'm telling you. Like it's a really fun idea and fucking God bless them. Because this is super dope. And so what we're going to find out next weekend at Canada Cup is what the Mind Stone is.
Yeah, okay.
And we don't know what that could be.
I got something, though.
What?
If you get Reality Stone, Spidey's Infinite is unbanned just for you.
I thought you were going to say people in the audience can throw tomatoes at you from the bleachers.
You can physically web up your opponent.
With tape? Reality Stone!
Web ball!
A bunch of people run up and just start fucking tape duct taping you to the chair. As long as your hands are on the stick, you're still good.
Yeah, you can still play.
Oh, man. No, Mind Stone could be anything. Man. I don't know.
You're
allowed to distract your opponent while he's playing.
Do you have any theories at all? Like, actual theory?
You're like, while you're doing the set, you have a fake phone call from his mom.
Your opponent has to answer a cell phone call.
You have a family relative run in and deliver new, like, really important news during the match and see if you can break their concentration. I don't know. Maybe there's, you know.
Your car is being broken into in the parking lot.
It's like, why did all these tournaments require me to enter my parents' addresses and home phone numbers?
That's strange, but I guess it was like, you know, to emergency numbers in case I get
hurt. On the big screen, they cut to footage of, like, your parents at home.
Having sex?
Yeah, like fucking like home invasion about to take place, and you're just staring at the fucking screen. Mind Stone,
and it cuts to the other player, and he's just happy as a clam. I use my stone.
What
do you want me to do? I don't know what it was going to do. I just used it.
Yeah, and to be prepared, that means they had to send people to
the TO organized what the Mind Stone would do.
If you're in top 32, there are people at your parents' house right now waiting for that call.
If you use Mind Stone leading up to the match with the person you decide to use it against, they change all the, like, they change all of his placements in all the brackets, and he's like last or he's out or whatever, and he's like, wait, no, what, no, there's a, hey, there's a problem, I'm not, and they're like, are you sure, because all the documentation says you got blown up in pools.
Like, I used my time stone. You don't have to show me my parents having sex anymore.
Oh, God. Yeah, I would, out of everything, I'd want someone to use time stone against someone else's stone.
It would be really fun.
That would be the sickest.
It'd be really fun.
That's the thing that Money in the Bank needs a counter break.
Yeah. Which could be set up by having a different event, right?
Or something. Or some type of, like, other belt or briefcase. A clipboard that you could just throw at the guy, and then it just takes away his thing. Oh, God. Countering needs to be like in more, like, life events.
Like a briefcase that's just debt in the bank. And if you cash in your debt in the bank, then it nullifies the money in the bank, and you get zero.
Yeah, you have to. There's a briefcase where a guy opens it up, and you get bumped down to NXT.
Like, I want to see someone come running in with their briefcase, and then someone else just goes, nah, debt in the bank. And then he just stops running, and then just turns around and walks back into the locker room.
You go back to the developmental.
Yeah, fuck
you.
Yeah.
You go to Tough Enough. Oh, that's good stuff.
Yeah. No,
I just heard the name Battle of the Stones. I'm like, yeah, that's a cool name for a tourney series on Marvel, and that's it. That's all I thought. That's all I saw.
No, totally. Totally understandable why no one would notice.
My eyes have opened.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is a ton of fun, and I can't wait to see what's going to happen next week in Toronto. But anyway, no. So, like, that's basically what I've been doing and practicing.
Oh, so you're going to go to Toronto.
I'm going to Toronto.
If you can, remember, if you have the time, go to that Russian fucking vodka bar.
I hear you. It's not like, I'm not sure. I might have the time, but I don't know. Yeah,
Just saying. If you do have the time.
It's going to be a tightly packed weekend.
Because I just know you'll like it.
If I can get some people. But also, like, the Canada Cup, it's a Lapchi event, and that's the... he's the Canadian Don that, like, fucking...
The Don, really?
Yeah, of the FGC. So, like, he does big parties organized for the official stuff anyway. Okay, okay. You know? I want to... Dude, there's nothing better than drunken Japanese players.
Like, yeah, I bet.
I promise
Emotions you, come out.
I promise you it's the best. Anyway, so...
So getting good at Marvel.
Yeah. And
did you buy any of those costumes or no?
I bought the fucking Spencer bullshit. Greuter.
Just him, or did he come in a pack?
I just bought the singles.
Okay.
Because I'm not paying fucking $40 for a pack of.
No, not for all of them. If you don't play like 80% of the cast.
Exactly, and I'm picking what I like if I want to either stare at it or use it.
I bought two.
So
I bought Ghost Rider and Captain Marvel.
Yeah. You know, well, whatchamacallit, Coach Steve, the Spencer player, rightfully says, don't call me a friend if you have this shitty Spencer outfit. And I bought it and I'm just like, but the Color 4 version basically turns him into Geralt.
Yeah. Right? With white hair.
The white hair
version.
Yeah,
I saw that.
So I'm like, you know what?
At first I thought it was a different costume altogether. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, that's the only color that doesn't look horrendous on him. And so I'm playing that one. And so I bought that and I bought Morrigan.
Morrigan's is good too.
Just so that I can stare at it on the title screen because it's really nice.
It would reflect on the title screen. It's just models.
It's a pretty title screen with her on it. I like her little, what is it called? Night Warriors. Kind of candy girl outfit.
It's like during her victory, one of her victory screens. It's like her casual wear when she...
It's not the white shirt and red pants. It's like an ooh-la-la outfit kind of thing.
No, I know what it is, but I'm just saying where I thought it came from. I thought it was another victory pose. Because, yeah, she's got the white dress, the white top and the
white top,
pants.
Red pants. The Remy outfit, basically.
But I had a dream Remy was revealed for Street Fighter V this morning.
Wow.
That shows where my head's
at. Yeah, no. That's... Oof. Also,
you have Guile and you have Nash. Why would you need Remy?
And now Zeku.
Yeah, that's true.
Dino looks better than regular Dante.
He does. His model, almost every DLC and like post launch thing, it looks better. Yeah.
And of course,
and the fact that his DT is accurate to that game.
The color inversion
crazy,
is nice. And of course, Mr. Fix It.
Yes.
In there.
Did you get that or no?
I didn't. Because Hulk's garbage now. But it is. I'm happy to see that.
His voice isn't different, Dante, right?
No, same. It's same.
That'd be cool if it was.
But, oh my God. Hire a whole new voice actor for just one costume?
Injustice does it.
They make different characters. It's true.
But Raiden just has a skin that's Black Lightning.
But Injustice had more than a shoestring.
It's true.
I think Mr. Fix-It is probably one of my favorites of that set.
I'd rather him have the suspenders and the work shirt than be the gang. The gangster's still cool.
You're right. The pinstripe is good, though.
Yeah, but
I'd say that's fourth best Hulk.
In Hulk. Of that you know.
Yeah, that I know. I think that's. I don't know what else, but I mean, obviously, like the Monster Hunter stuff is it's, you know,
it's in there.
It's in there.
When you start making Twitter posts that have big spaces between the letters asking for fan art,
and everyone's like, just look up from the original.
No,
game.
Give it to me.
So the biggest problem is this character, this nameless character,
is the name
of a video game, making it impossible to actually. You know, figure out what you're
going
to...
Give me fan art of the Street Fighter, you know?
You know. Anyway, so there's that. Other thing I did this week was Billy had a little birthday tournament.
Yeah, I'm sorry I missed that.
Went out to it, had a good time. He picked some really good mini games that I had never... played or seen before.
Like games or like variant rule set on a game?
Specifically games. He went back to the from on the Wii we played like a Kirby minigame where you're throwing ninja stars.
Like, it was the four player Kirby like Return to Dreamland game.
Yeah, and he was playing the ninja star
one is actually super good,
really fun, right? Yeah. We did like that, and then like the next round of the tournament was a Game and Wario. No, not Game and Wario. WarioWare like a Wii U game where you had to like pull back a slingshot of little like voxel characters.
I think we played that at the last one he had, but you weren't able to come to that one.
Right, okay.
You didn't play the one where you look for people in the crowd, did you?
No. Yeah. We just played the slingshot one.
That one's good.
And it's way better than that one flick game that came out.
Yeah.
Whatever the fuck that was called. But anyway, you just slingshot these little like cube characters onto platforms. And depending on the stage, different amounts of Nintendo bullshit happen. You know, like if it's an iceberg, then it like tips over and or it's like a teeter totter seesaw, and a bird comes over and shits on one and makes it heavier. And you know,
I just wish the words Nintendo bullshit would flash on the screen as it happens.
Yeah, well, because I didn't know what game it was, right? I didn't know what like mini game this belonged to type of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I saw a seagull fly up and just take my box and drop it in the ocean because I was first place, I'm like, this is a first-party Nintendo game.
Okay.
Right? Rubber banding happens in video games, but never does any company besides Nintendo rub your face in the fact that fuck you for being first place.
But the thing with it is that like in the minigame stuff, like even Mario Party or what you just described, I'm like, it's kind of fine to me always in a minigame sort of that framework, mm-hmm. but it's only when it gets really, really bad where I'm like, no to this is like Mario 3D World, the four player one, simultaneous 3D one.
Yeah.
That's the one where like some of that Nintendo bullshit, but is in the framework of a tight platformer.
Yeah.
That's where that gets the most frustrating. Not that anyone's first, although I think there was someone gets a crown depending if they'd done the best during the level.
I forget
what it was, but that's where I'm like, that's horse shit now.
And I mean, it was already hard enough when you're dealing with that on its own, but then you have four people running around and this camera scrolling and shit.
Yeah. I saw Liam won a lot of these competitions
on
the updates because I was at my parents' house and I'm on my phone the entire time. And I'm
Liam definitely had the advantage of knowing the games.
Every game.
Well, you know what I mean? In advance a little bit there, but he did very good too. And there was also Tekken Bowl, which I misheard and didn't know what he was talking about because I thought we were going to play Tekken Ball, right?
Yeah.
But it's not Tekken Ball. Tekken 7 had an update with Tekken Bowl in it.
Yeah, I think I remember hearing about it, but I
didn't play, and it's actually a full-fledged bowling game that doesn't... It's not like it's recycling the system mm-hmm. in any way.
It's just bowling.
It's just bowling. It's a dedicated bowling game, and it's very good.
Was there anything Tekken-y about it?
You pick Tekken characters.
Oh, that's...
And
fine.
And depending on who you pick in the cast, you have different strengths and weaknesses.
Okay.
So if you're left-handed, right-handed, you're strong.
It's just like
fast.
Harada, just like I like bowling.
Yeah, and everyone has a different profile.
Yeah, it'd be cool if like Paul could do like a Phoenix Smasher to the ball, like they can get a special move.
Yeah. As someone who just plays like local casuals and tournament stuff, like I haven't gone to that mode and really messed
it'd be
with
funny
it.
If Tekken 7 drops out of the tourney scene, but Tekken Bowl comes
takes over
back.
Yeah. Well, it's just like it becomes a little difficult for people with accents because when they say let's play Tekken Bowl,
yeah,
and I'm like, which one did you say there? So anyway,
Tekken Sports.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It should just be a compilation, like a mini game collection.
I think that's what we're building up to.
I think so, eventually.
The winners got to pick from his little bag of gifts.
Okay.
He had little Kamen Rider figures, and there was a single Funko Pop.
Who was it?
It was BB-8, so it looked good.
Okay.
It looked normal.
Wow.
And then like a couple of just like keychains and bullshit. So that was a fun time. Fun time. I also watched Thus Spake Kishibe Rohan, and it's the JoJo side story about Rohan.
Watched?
Yes.
Is it anime or a movie?
Yeah.
Or? Okay.
They animated. Okay, so there's a side story about Rohan, you know, like Heaven's Door.
Yeah.
Right. So he has a bunch of side stories because fucking Araki loves him.
Hmm.
And even though he says he's not his favorite character, I think he's full of shit, just like a fuckface that didn't watch Twin Peaks.
Does he say who his favorite character is?
As the interview people tend to quote is him saying Dio.
Okay.
And then I think I saw a source that had him saying Josuke, but it's like, even if you say these things, I don't believe you that this self-insert mangaka, and he actually goes out and says, I know you'd think that this manga artist is me. A lot of people do. But actually, we're very different because we have different work ethics and things like that.
Okay.
And I'm just like, what the fuck ever, Araki? That cool manga strong guy that does everything amazingly is clearly your favorite character.
You can lobby to say that, like, this might not be my favorite character, but he's the most interesting and I want to do more stuff with them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I
don't think that's Araki's case at all.
No.
I believe you.
I do that all the time. Yeah. I mean, you know... I play Samus, but I love Kirby in Smash Brothers, for example.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I play Blanka, but I love Makoto. Mm-hmm. Whatever. So no, I definitely understand that. Yeah, and he you know, he says Josuke, but it's just like, okay, but where's the extra stories besides the main story about Josuke? Yeah, Give me some more then, you know?
No. So like where's the receipts? Where's your extra stories?
Yeah. Yeah. And the people that get side stories are Fugo from part 5, and then Rohan gets them, and then Dio, of course, gets his big mm-hmm. book of, like, philosophies. So there's, and then, you know, occasionally a couple other things. But anyway, Rohan has his side story about, like, random adventures in Mario,
okay.
And they just picked a random one to animate, which are also randomly numbered. So the whole thing is incredibly
random.
Confusing, but it was fun.
Okay.
And it was wacky.
How long is it?
28 minutes. It was a single episode. Super short.
Mm.
I hope they do more because David Production is the fucking best. And I would not mind these little, like, stopgap, like, taste tests before we have to wait long for part 5 to come.
Right, because that's
going to take a fucking while.
Mm.
But, like, it would be nice to have these little pieces of you know...
To tide you over.
Little morsels, exactly.
To whet your appetite.
Yeah, yeah. Almost like we had the Levi side story in Attack on Titan and stuff like that.
I'm a fan of those.
I'm a fan of these little OIVs.
I haven't watched any episodes since the first one, just as an aside. But I saw a trailer or I saw a clip. I was just like, wait, what? It's like side story of Geese. During this fucking KOF CG show, Destiny... There's one episode, one fully credited episode. I researched it.
Mm-hmm.
That's like we dedicate an entire episode to side story of Geese Howard. And like you think Marvel has a shoestring budget? Not only is the CG bad, right? It's like done in China and you can just tell that it's just like side story of Geese Howard is done all via artwork this time.
Is it the interviews from the journalist in the Tekken story?
Yeah, it's about that level. So it does the thing where it's like, you know what's canon? The animes. And they go, Geese Howard was the brother of Wolfgang Krauser. And they just grew up. And then Geese Howard is like, fuck this. I'm going to move to Southtown. And it shows Tung Furu going, I will teach you. And even though this is the side story of Geese Howard, I want to see the side story of Tung Furu as to why the fuck he would ever teach Geese Howard. Like, as a kid, he's still evil looking. So all this
is all 2D?
It's all 2D artwork just sliding into frame.
Oh,
and it just makes Geese look stupider and weaker that way. That's just an aside.
So it starts before Out of Fighting Geese, like before.
Yeah.
Like
it,
baby
it goes
geese.
To Wolfgang Krauser saying the exact same things he said in the second Fatal Fury anime. Like, oh, you're too weak. Get out of here, baby brother Geese. But in this one, they say it, a geese. I mean, in the anime, they say that Geese is a half brother to Krauser. In KOF Destiny, they say they're full brothers.
It was always half, as far as
I
knew.
Yes, in Destiny, they're like, no, they're full brothers. They don't even mention half.
Okay.
Sorry, just an aside. I'm
no,
just like,
but I'm just like, so then why doesn't Krauser give a fuck about
the game?
Jeff Bogard or any of that shit? And why is he hanging out in Germany wearing armor? Like, what part of being a Howard?
Him out. No, why? Yeah, who? How is his name Howard?
How are the Howards and the Krausers related?
Even
who was their father?
Even though it was a side story, it didn't actually explain anything.
And how badass must their father have been?
And who calls their one son Wolfgang, one son Geese?
Geese.
Anyway.
You know, whose balls did they come from? That's what I need to know.
I didn't look at any clips, but I saw also in the episode list side story of Benny Maru.
Oh, Jesus.
If anyone needed backstory.
That better just be a visual novel of him, like, hitting on everybody.
Everybody. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Okay, I need to like, maybe I need to rub my eyes and look at that again. Because I'm like, this KOF Destiny.
Yes, you do. When
like,
it's all done.
I don't fucking...
I think 11 episodes came out. Do you know who's in it, though? American sports team is back.
Yeah, they are.
Brian Balor's
Heavy
in there.
Heavy D and fucking...
But I saw a screenshot, and I was like, who's that? I'm like, oh my God.
Lucky Glauber?
No, it was Brian Balor, but I was just like, who the fuck is that?
But is it the whole team, or is it just...
I just saw a screenshot of Brian Balor. Okay. I just assumed that his team is in there. Because I think I saw when I mentioned this anime, or CG, whatever, a few weeks ago, it's a reboot of 94.
Yeah.
They get an invite, said, this is the first time KOF has been 3 versus 3.
Yeah.
Teams. And everyone's like, whoa, cool. So, yeah.
But it's like, why would you bring back Brian instead of Lucky or Heavy D? The
Shut
people
up.
That
I
everyone loves.
I don't know.
Because they're fucking radical.
Oh, well.
Anyway. Yeah, that was me.
Okay. I had time to play a couple games. Fire Emblem Warriors being the most notable one. Like, I'd forgot it was coming out until Liam was like, kind of put me on blast a bit, where he was streaming Fire Emblem Warriors on his Twitch, and he was like, oh yeah, he just started it, and there's this clip, it's not to the Arcana Heart levels, but it says Matt is now playing Troll and I.
Nice.
And he just goes, why?
Because he told you to?
No, but this is after we had done a video
oh,
for
it. Jesus Christ. Okay,
so
not then.
I'm going to explain what happened.
Please
and
do.
And what happened is that I installed Fire Emblem Warriors, and then what was the last game that I'd played on my Switch? Troll and I, because we did a video.
Yep.
And then I, instead of saying, like, close software now, I pressed A and I resumed it for a spell.
And that immediately
for about
tells
10 seconds,
everybody.
Immediately tells everybody that I was playing Troll and I for a bit.
Look at this fucker.
So instead, I immediately shut it down and uninstalled it.
Nice.
And played a bit of Fire Emblem Warriors. Like, you didn't do the video with us, but when we took a look at Warriors All-Stars, the Tecmo one, I was just like, oh man, fuck this premise. Fuck these new characters that they just put in. Like, I hate the story. I'm just like, oh, I'm just so not into it. Gameplay is like, yeah, all right. But like, Fire Emblem Warriors, since like every couple of Fire Emblems is like a whole new universe.
For a second, I thought you were going to go, man, fuck this gameplay and these new characters and bullshit. Anyway, but Troll and I, so I was playing a bit more of it.
And I really got into it.
It turns around.
A little bit. But since every Fire Emblem game has like a different kingdom every couple of ones, they have a new kingdom and new characters, a brother and sister, Blonde, and they're both like, you know, one's more responsible than the other, one's more of a hothead, the guy. And I'm just like, yeah, this totally fits Fire Emblem. It's not like, who the fuck are these people? You know, it's the same kind of jarringness that, Sorcerer Girl. Awful sorcerer girl from Hyrule Warriors, one with the books.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Short name.
Yeah.
Sia.
Maya. No, Sia is the evil priestess.
Okay, well.
Anyway, but you know what I'm talking about. Because it's like, oh, these are clearly new characters that they made for this.
Yeah.
And even though these are clearly new characters made for Fire Emblem Warriors, I'm like, well, that's fine. And the really, I don't know, thing that eases me into a Warriors game is English voice acting, honestly. Even if it's not stellar, I think the voice acting is pretty good. It kind of smooths the experience a bit, so I just don't feel like I'm playing Musou.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the Samurai Warriors, Dynasty Warriors style thing.
Are there, Lana, are there designs like equally as like inserty, or are they like at least Fire Emblem?
No, they fit in really well. I find the brother and the sister team, that's the two main playable characters.
Because I wouldn't have been as bothered by Lana and Sia if they looked like Zelda characters.
They didn't.
But right? They completely don't.
But why does the new design for Impa look like it fits the best?
It really does. And
even Link's...
they all do.
Actually, Link's scarf, as cool as it is, and as we both own it, it's not...
I could see a mainline Zelda doing that, but then the scarf wouldn't just be a scarf.
Yeah.
It would be a special item that the game revolves around.
It would be the subtitle of the game, you know?
Yeah.
Scarf of Destiny.
Yeah,
or like,
fucking the
cool scarf.
The spirit scarf, you know, like some horse shit. But it would be a total thing.
Yeah.
Like,
so the first mission it has you do is like, it's one of those in media res things where it's a battle that took that's already happening.
Yeah.
And you can just go to every room and there's a new Fire Emblem character. So Crom is right there, and Crom's like actually like really high up in Fire Emblem characters for me. I fucking love Crom. And you just press down on the D-pad to switch to any hero that's like near you. And I'm like, oh fuck. And Crom just, as soon as you switch to every character, you get to see their super right then. And I didn't get to play. I didn't have time to play this a whole bunch. I played like
it shows you their super right away.
Yeah,
that's pretty smart.
two or three missions I played, and just like I'm not sure if you've seen it, but like the super transitions where like the camera like goes from behind their back to in front of them, then it zooms in into the cutaway of their eyes, then smoothly goes back out, then they perform the wrestling animation super. Like it's super slick. Like it looks amazing whenever it happens. And
All I saw was a screenshot of Marth talking shit about Crom.
Yeah.
Saying that despite
what he looks like, which is me, don't
worry
about that.
He's got noble blood or whatever the fuck. And I'm like, he's a slightly buffer version of you, but you're all the same.
He's you, but cooler, Marth.
You're all the same.
It's Hyrule Warriors, though.
That
when
guy's
I,
got
when
the
I started
red hair. Anyway.
Playing through it, it cool. felt like it. And having just played Warriors All-Stars, which didn't... I don't know what the differences are. I don't know what they do. I don't know what Nintendo, what their input is when it's them, but it just automatically felt better and cooler.
Are they blatantly just putting together people from timelines and generations that shouldn't exist?
I didn't get that far yet to find out what exactly the entry
and
point
such.
Was.
Yeah, okay.
Because the main story happens in this new kingdom for this game, and I assume it's always, like, in Zelda, it's dimensions.
In
Warriors All-Stars, it was dimensions.
But I mean, again, I'm not that versed in Fire Emblem, but I do know that, like, it spans, like, again, children's generations of children.
Yeah.
And Marth and Roy and Elliewood and Ike and Crom and, you know, all these characters, like, don't exist in the same span of 30 years of life.
Yeah, so it's magic or bullshit or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it'd be cool if like someone made a spell and then just shot a bunch of chains into the portal and just yanked a Fire Emblem character out of the perspective timelines. Like, I just want like steal them.
Sure.
You know, sure. Kidnap them almost.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. I played that. I played a beat 'em up that I'd confused for another one. It was called Viking something. I remember seeing it was like line switching. It was like the Guardian hero style. You're on different planes or like...
cool.
God, that princess, that Code of Princess game. I thought it was like that, but I was like, no, this is a different beat 'em up altogether. It's called Wolverblade. And it's...
So you're referring to the line system from Garo Densetsu.
Well, I'm
Legend of the Hungry Wolf.
In a beat 'em up style. Yes, it is the line system from Garo Densetsu.
Okay.
But Wolverblade is like, you know that early story of the Roman Ninth Legion going into like ancient Britain, and there'd just be like the pikies this vicious group of like barbarians. It was like Britain's barbarians, or maybe it was Scottish. That's where I get confused. But it was like this famous story about the Ninth Legion went there to go talk to the barbarian king and just never came back. And the Ninth Legion was super strong.
Oh, no, I never
I've seen
that.
Movies of this type
What happened
thing.
To them? Okay.
Exactly. So this seems to be based on that, where the ancient Romans are going in to rustle up shit, and you play as three characters, a woman, big, huge dude, and like middle of the road guy. And it's one of those beat-em-ups that's very flash animated. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah.
Lots of squashy.
Not as squashy as you think, but if I show you a screenshot, you'd be like, oh yeah, okay, I've seen that before, maybe. And I started playing it for a bit. I'm like, eh, this is okay. Then just as I started to go like, yeah, I'm gonna about to turn this off. It's like, oh, you get this additional weapon, like the Y button on the Switch was unused. I was pressing Y, nothing was happening. Then I picked up a giant axe, and then I started pressing Y, like X and whatever. And then he started doing some more combos. And then it started going, hey, you have executions. Also, you can call in wolf strikers now.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay. And it had...
It's 2D?
Yeah. It had oddly good voice acting, and it had lore that you pick up, like notes on the battlefield of this beat-em-up. And then I'm like, I'm not going to uninstall this.
What's it called again?
Wolverblade, like W-U-L-V-E-R.
Wolverblade. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I'll give that more of a go, because I was, just as I was starting to get like, meh, I was like, oh, there's some actual stuff here. It's not like a Fight and Rage where it's all like crazy combos and juggling and canceling.
It's not on the surface.
Yeah, but it was more than what I thought, so... I also went through the second episode of Life is Strange Before the Storm with Liam. Very, very strong second episode. Unfortunately, the game still actually doesn't have a thing. It doesn't have... We thought that maybe after the first episode they'd introduce a mechanic,
mm-hmm.
like... Time rewind? Not really. But, I mean, because it can't, because it's a prequel.
And it's not, you know.
But we thought there'd be something. Like, there's obviously be some other supernatural element, and there really isn't.
I kind of assumed, I was like, I remember, like, we talked about it, but I was wondering, I'm like, what are they going to do with that? And then it was like, thinking, like, they might just tell the story normally.
Yeah, and they are, but they did a weird thing in the first episode. They almost seem to hint that someone has some type of power, but after the second episode, that doesn't seem to happen. But the second episode has some great story beats. The ending was very strong. And like another 3-hour episode, like after coming off Walking Dead season 3 with its amazing 53-minute long episode, like
the fact that they're
able to squeeze 3 hours out of this, and it didn't even feel like we were squeezing. I'm like, yeah, those scenes were important. That part was cool. There's a whole section, Willie, of the game where you have to be in William Shakespeare's The Tempest.
You told me.
And oh, you told you?
Yeah.
And remember your lines?
Yeah.
Very, very good sequence. I was like, that was pretty fun.
That so. And the D&D thing sound like the best.
Yeah, the D&D thing was the standout part of the first episode, but like this was just as good, because you had to look at where the tape was on the stage to know where you're supposed to stand.
So sad that, like, you know, that's doing fun stuff, and over at Telltale, like, it's just it's been watered down to like multiple seasons of things that are like, all right, I guess, you know.
I mean, we had an okay time with Batman, but we had an okay time with Batman.
But yeah, you know what I mean? And Batman is unfortunately, at the end of the day, closer to Game of Thrones than it is to say to season one Walking Dead.
Yeah.
You know, and then. What? Guardians of the Galaxy you've played, I haven't touched.
It's not really any different. There are some differences, but they don't amount to anything meaningful.
Yeah, it kind of feels like this is just the state that Telltale is in, unless someone really good comes in and writes the story.
Mm-hmm, you know? And right now, I don't know of any... Tales of the Borderlands is the only one that you bang on about it. I've always been meaning to play it for a bit.
And I can't, you know
but
what?
I think that's because that universe affords them to be crazy and weird and different, right?
Yeah, and I don't want to overhype it because it's not the second coming. So
no, it's
not.
It's just the standout in a bunch of okayness.
Of okay to man games. Yeah. And so that's why I think I'm going to stop banging that drum.
Yeah, maybe.
Because it's like, all right, we get it. It's good, you know? But like, yeah, it's really, it's not It's just very, very good compared to the other shit.
If those rumors are true now, that they're making a 007 Telltale game, like, that will be interesting in the fact that James Bond in video game form has just been this killing machine. I'd like to be James Bond where you talk your way out of things. Mm. I think that would be interesting different.
That would be. But at this point, Don't Nod is about to, like...
Remember, this isn't Don't Nod, though.
That's true. This is outsourced to other companies.
I forget its name.
Don't Nod's working on a proper sequel. Yeah, this is a thing. Right. I forgot.
Even in the framework of this being a prequel, because some of the feedback of the first episode was like, what's the point of all this? Mm. Like, we know what's going to happen. And I'm like, yeah, it's true, but it's still being slightly more interesting than every Telltale game that I've played recently.
Not to forget Wolf Among Us, which was also very good.
And we'll get a second season.
Among Us is good. Well, that's don't want to forget
that. Because it had a much crazier universe and it did some interesting things. Like a few interesting things over the other Telltale Fair. Really quickly, I've been watching a show, you might be interested in it, called Mindhunters, which is a very forgettable name. I remember there being a game where the movie where there it was LL Cool J and Matt Dillon or someone, and it was called Mindhunters, and it was about people being connected. But anyway, it was this lame action movie. But
like that, yeah, that could either be like a
Val Kilmer, I want to say.
Like that could be a Netflix show or a shitty True TV special.
Yeah.
That could be a million things.
But Mindhunters, I heard about it months ago and I was like, what? And then I forgot about it. And then I started watching. I'm like, oh my God, because the first two episodes directed by David Fincher. And I'm like, right, this is his FBI profiling show in the 70s that takes place in the 70s that I heard about like a year ago. And oh shit, this is what it is. Finally, I can watch it. Because I'd forgot about it because I was excited for it initially. And it basically is, here's the fulcrum point where the FBI decides we need to start making profiles of serial killers. We need to start thinking about why they do what they do so that we can stop this. And there being resistance in the FBI going, no, that's bullshit. Just find who did it.
Modern show set in the 70s.
Yes, okay. Yes. Modern show set in the 70s. So Charles Manson has been caught.
Yeah.
And they constantly talk about other serial killers and they interview them with like questionnaires and like try to push their buttons to get them to speak out, like, all right, so why did you have that severed head and why did you make that severed head go down on you? Can you explain that please to us? So it's brilliantly acted. It doesn't really have anyone particularly famous.
That's fine.
More of a low key cast, like the main girl from the show Fringe is in it, I guess. But it's like, if you like Hannibal Lecter, if you like the movie Zodiac, which David Fincher also did, like, it's just great, great, great drama. And I can't really say much about it other than that. It's 10 episodes and I'm about to start the 8th one. And highly recommended.
Another big director makes his silver screen transition because only way to do it these
days.
Didn't
he direct a few episodes of House of Cards, I want to say, David Fincher? Maybe. I could be thinking of someone else.
You might be right. I think early on.
Early on, yeah.
I think early on, yeah.
Maybe Aaron Sorkin? I don't know.
I never finished The Newsroom either.
Yeah, no, neither did I.
I don't think I did. I don't know anyone who did. But it starts really strong.
Yeah,
anyway.
No, I did. Huh. That's really good. I highly recommend it.
Cool. All right. With that, let's take a quick word from our sponsors.
Spoonsers.
This week, the podcast is sponsored by... I can't.
Please.
It's probably no good if you start joking around and messing up the name. But no, it's Bluehost. Bluehost is the top rated website provider. Powers over 2 million websites. If you want to build a website, you know where to go. Bluehost.com. We no longer have a website.
No, we don't.
But if we did, we would take it to Bluehost.com.
I think we would. We'd get a 50%.
When we signed up at bluehost.com/sbfcast. And if we did sign up, we would get really powerful tools that let us customize everything we need. We'd get the top recommended WordPress host since 2005. That's the reliability we would want to use. Mm-hmm. In fact, dare I say, that if anything ever did go wrong, we would want to rely on the 24/7 tech support, online resources, and expert services with that 99.9% repeating uptime guarantee. But we don't.
No.
But if we did. But if we did, we would head on over to Bluehost.
But please, don't believe us.
Bluehost.com/SBFcast. That's Bluehost.com/SBFcast. Thank you, Bluehost.
Thank you, Bluehost.
Also, big thanks to World of Warships.
I thought you were going to say thanks to World Star Hip Hop.
I mean, no, we're not there yet.
Okay.
But if you ever wanted to captain some of the greatest world ships. Oof. Warships.
I like it, though. I like
world ships. Are a cool concept. But a warships of World War II, then you should check out the World of Warships free-to-play historical online combat game from Wargaming. You know, the guys that made World of Tanks. The gigantic, massive,
like,
super hit.
Like that one, like that couple of years where you'd go to every con and the biggest booth would be the World of Tanks booth. Yeah,
well,
that one.
Here comes World of Warships.
Okay.
You command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels like the USS Arizona, the USS Indianapolis, and the USS Enterprise. What? Yeah.
No.
The warship.
Okay. Because that's an unfair battle.
And of course, four classes of ships from over eight nations fighting in strategically designed environments in every match is unique experience. So yeah, you got endless hours of strategy, tactical gameplay, all that stuff. And it's a perfect balance of action and strategic gameplay. I like me some boat battles.
You do. You do.
I've said a thing or two
There's
about how much I enjoy.
There's a whole battle game coming out soon.
Fucking love big. Yeah, World of Warships.
This could wet your whistle.
And it's not coming out soon. It's available now.
Damn.
If you head on over to commandwarships.com, you can start your naval adventure when you enter the code FRIENDCAST17, as in the year.
Ah.
FRIENDCAST17, and you get a ton of bonus content courtesy of the podcast. Includes a free premium ship, the cruiser Aurora, a pile of in-game currency, and all that good World War II naval experience.
All those good feelings.
You know, the fun stuff.
The fun part.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
There were some unfun places you could have been.
But that's not one of them.
No. On the beaches, not a good time.
But it's not called World of Beaches, is it?
In the water, just off the beaches, not a good time.
Mm.
In the boats, party! Great time in the boats. Everybody's loving it. Looking out at those beaches going, fuck.
I'm glad I'm in there.
I'm glad I'm over here in this boat. Check out World of Warships today at commandwarships.com and start playing. Thank you, World of Warships.
Thank you so much.
Let's get into the news.
Two things before we get into the news. One, what type of fucked up situation would it have to have been for the USS Enterprise to go back into the past and start blowing up U.S. ships? Like, you can't let these fuckers win.
It turns out the Prime Directive was the biggest mistake of all time.
Oh no, we gotta stop this from happening.
We have to have the anti-Prime Directive where we destroy
everything,
as much culture as possible.
Like, I just imagine, like, you know, the starts of Star Trek, so you've seen enough where it's just like the Enterprise looks slowly drifting. It's a Stardate, whatever.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Imagine the same speed, but it's shooting lasers in all directions as it's just sailing through the universe.
Every light in the sky is an enemy.
It's just like, but it's still Stardate 2.5, no, 0.96. We are continuing to smoke all motherfuckers. In the galaxy.
Engage.
Fire torpedoes.
Like the Enterprise, like, the bridge is constantly doing the shaking thing.
And like Picard's in his ready room and he's like, Earl Grey tea, hot. Fire torpedoes. People are having sex on the holodeck and they're like, fire phasers.
You open up time portals and just fire bullets into them. You don't even go in through. You just stick your hand in and start firing.
Even in the nerdy science decks where they're like studying life forms or whatever, like little plants, they're just like slowly dropping a little like bit of water with molecules into a thing. Very slowly they go, fire torpedoes. Fire phasers. Set all phasers to kill.
Just gassing entire planets.
And the computer's trying to process all these orders around them. Dude, that's strong. Like the ultimate death machine.
The Deep Space Nine just spitting and firing a constant beam in all directions.
360 degrees, it's like a shmup.
An endless laser that just spins and cuts everything.
Or they create this new Enterprise that's like the Ikaruga. It's like switching polarities and shooting like different polarity shots at everything.
No refuge. To make sure
we are continuing to wipe the universe clean.
Oh, God.
Our 5-year mission, Fuck them all. 100 billion dead galaxies.
The double final frontier.
Mm.
Let's get into the news.
Yeah, there be news this week.
Yeah. All right.
What you got?
Well, let's check the front page of NeoGAF. Oh.
I like this rebranding. I like this new 505.com they got going.
Seems like seems kind of catchy.
Yeah,
I thought the gaming age forums was a thing that people kind of latched onto, but let's see here. What do we got right now?
Yeah, what's the current?
What's the status?
Yeah,
down for scheduled maintenance.
Now this is the longest scheduled maintenance NeoGAF has ever had.
Hey,
yeah,
it's scheduled.
This
maintenance
always in the cards
was planned. Please be patient with
that one weekend
down.
In October. Whoa, we got a bunch of scheduled maintenance coming up.
Oof.
Yeah,
there's really not much to say. Personally,
really.
I've never been a member. I know that it's a super useful thing that you guys browsed a hell of a lot more than me.
Mm.
It made
many a testing day go by much faster.
Yeah, I understand that there goes that useful gaming resource. Though apparently for very good reasons.
Yeah.
Because holy fuck.
Mm.
Woo! Woo!
You know, things are fucked up when I was on NeoGAF like on a Saturday or whatever, this past Saturday, and I saw some weird threads pop up, and I was like, I don't know. That really didn't understand or like care what was going on. It didn't really, some weird threads are popping up, all right, whatever. Then I come back like the next day, like morning, and I go and I see Twitter and it says trending NeoGAF, and I'm like, Then I read up about everything, I'm like, okay, all right, sure.
Yeah, if only you could have applied that strict new user registration policy to your pants.
Yeah.
Ow.
You got one in though. You got one in.
That's all
Good
I
job.
Needed. That's all I needed. Let's check out what's happening on that.
There's not much news this week because you can't go to NeoGAF to look what's up.
No, I was gonna see. I was gonna talk about The fun coming out of the company,
yes,
known as Raw Thrills,
mm-hmm.
who I'm surprised you haven't just moved down to and applied to work at, because they seem to be doing everything you love these days.
I have a follow-up thing to this that you may not be aware of, but the first thing is like, yeah, I just saw on this website, Arcade Heroes, that they just had this glorious looking flyer that talks about power income, Wooly. Strike up the profits, motherfucker.
This
Ninja Turtle beat 'em up.
To be fair, yeah. They're not going as hard as they used to because I think.
But the fact that there's still a bit left. From 90s arcade flyers.
So I think they know that people are seeing these publicly now. So yeah, it's caught on. And as a result, they're not being as blatant about it. But they're going like, hey, check out the big HD screen full of, old appeals to all ages. But also, don't forget about your turtle power income, though. You're going to get lots of money if you buy this, you guys.
Roth, I thought it'd be funny though, if it was like, man, I love getting profits.
Yeah.
Or like,
being an arcade owner.
Profits on the half shell.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, Roth Thrills, makers of games like Jurassic Park and Cruising Blast.
Tonight I dine on profit soup.
Is making a Ninja Turtle beat 'em up for players. They also put out a game, an arcade game right now that's in test, not like widespread, Injustice Arcade.
Yeah, so I've seen
that. Which is a trading card thing with no, it's not a fighting game.
I've seen footage of that machine too.
And people are like, well, fuck this game, it's not a fighting game. And they're like, well, that's fine because mm-hmm. it's not made for fighting game crowd. It's made for like people are like collecting cards and stats and superheroes. And I was like, eh. So this uses apparently almost the exact same cabinet, same speaker placement and all that. But I'm glad because I look at this and there's joysticks and three buttons. And I'm like, yes, that's all I care about. And while we don't have like direct feed screenshots or like videos of the game, the one screenshot that's on the arcade cabinet, I'm like, that looks like a beat 'em up. I like that. And yeah, this game's going to be formally shown at an arcade convention.
I'm trying to get some information because I'm like, why am I not there? Why am I not attending the IAAPA convention?
Do you remember the old
International Association of Amusement Parks and what?
Do you remember the old arcade convention like back in the 90s?
And
like
attractions.
AOU. It would be like the arcade machine shown at the AOU.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
As a kid, I was like, that was my below E3.
Well, for me, it was always JAMA.
JAMA, too. Yeah, I forgot JAMA about JAMA.
JAMA was where life happened. Yes. Life began at JAMA, dude.
And it ended.
And GamePro would write about it. And that's why I loved GamePro, because they actually fucking had pages dedicated to what was shown at JAMA.
Exactly.
And that was the only place to find out about it.
JAMA's a thing anymore.
The Japanese arcade machine con, basically, or like trade show.
Is that still a thing?
I'm sure.
I think so. It's just smaller scale, or it doesn't get much reportage.
I wouldn't be surprised if a variant of it exists still, but like, according to Wikipedia,
it said, I saw started in 1991.
Yeah, okay. So in 2013, JAMA began collaborating with AOU.
That's what I was thinking of.
And now they have a show called
Japan Amusement Pack.
So,
okay.
Yeah, there
that's
you go.
That's fine. So the actual Ninja Turtle arcade machine, like it looks, like the cabinet looks amazing. And all three corners.
Looks very fun.
All four corners of the joysticks and like your turtle colors.
You know what's nice? That they're sticking with like a version of the turtles and they haven't shifted to a new look again,
because I saw some people complaining that the Nickelodeon thing's on the way out, like it had its last season, and everyone's like, well, why are you using this thing, it's over.
But okay,
what else are you supposed to use?
Well, because I'm like, once upon a time, even after the Ninja Turtles show was done, a Ninja Turtle still looked like a Ninja Turtle.
Yeah.
Right? This idea that we'd have to switch to a new art style like based on the 2000 show that came out, and then perhaps another version, like I'm like, we don't need to reboot the look every time.
Because there's a Ninja Turtle comic that's based on this style. It's more for kids.
Sure.
But then there's the more adult, older comic that's a different art style.
Yeah.
So there's like a million, there's literally a million art styles. But like, I've always been fine with the Nickelodeon look for them. And if you want to appeal to the widest range, I don't think you're going to offend anybody greatly with those designs. As long as they're not the fucking Michael Bay movie designs, I don't think anyone's going to be angry.
Well, here's the thing, right? You have three versions from famous from TV.
Yeah.
You have two versions from the movies.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've got like 80 versions from video games.
And comics.
Well, comics, yeah. You've got original, and then like depends on the artist.
And then there's the Archie ones. There's a million.
Right. But Archie was kind of like the old show, you know. But my point was that video games always had fucking a different look, a different style per game, right? Like the company making the game, if it was not licensed from like Nickelodeon or someone else that was involved, they'd be like, basically make your own turtle designs.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give this out for free.
Too many.
I'm going to give this idea out for free.
Okay.
This
what you got?
Game
what you got?
Should be called Turtles Forever. and every level you jump into the new art style. You jump into black and white.
So, video game version of Turtles Forever.
Yes,
the show, apps 100%, 100%.
And like, hire me.
1,000%.
Whoever.
Yeah. Wasted.
Now, Wasted Turtles Forever is like 10 years old now. Yes. But still.
Also,
Turtles Forever is still like the funnest thing you can ever watch.
It's the best thing Ninja Turtles ever
created
did.
By man.
Here's the only potential issue is from a licensing POV. There's probably some stuff that the Nickelodeon brand can't do.
Maybe, perhaps.
Because this is Nickelodeon's Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, that's true.
So they maybe only have control over that. Mm. But you're right. You're right. There 100% should be a Turtles Forever video game.
I did read a few, I think in the main thread of this article did say stuff like, you know, this is going to be a beat 'em up. We want to expand upon a little bit. So there's going to, you can even see it a bit in the screenshot.
Shut the fuck up.
What?
Turtles Forever.
Yes.
When you jump into different levels, mm-hmm. you've got some levels that play like the NES game. You've got some levels that play like Turtles in Time. You've got some levels that play like...
That's it.
Well,
what else do you want to play?
Platinum? I was going to say... yeah, well...
I like where your heart was, though.
What was the other company? Rocksteady? No, not Rocksteady. What was the other company?
Konami made the ones based on the 2003
Out of the Shadows.
But that sucked. It was real bad.
Okay. Well, the iconic ones, Turtles in Time and the other, not Turtles in Time.
Manhattan Project.
Manhattan Project.
Yeah, that was NES expanded.
Version. You play
The NES version is just the fucking lake dam stage.
Paying homage to those while doing the
that
other
could be cool
bullshit
too.
Would be fun.
I could see that.
Yes.
That it says this game is going to use a lot of environmental interaction. Tournament Fighters. You have a fighting game stage.
Oh my god.
So I'm looking forward to this. I'm going to freak out if I see it. I really hope it's good. And it looks better than fucking Reshelled. I like how colorful it is or whatever. Reshelled is just like the worst.
Yeah, we need some footage though. Right now we're just looking at a Strike Up the Profits poster.
What sucks about a new arcade machine is that you'll never get direct feed footage.
No.
Almost never. No. You have to we're going to wait for this arcade show to happen and some guy's going to put his iPhone in front of the cabinet.
When I was in Amsterdam and I was playing that Batman racing game.
Yes.
And
also made by Raw Thrills.
Yeah, I'm like, let me capture as much of this as I can cuz this is it.
Yeah.
And this game is incredible. Again, Raw Thrills seems to be like where Matt would go to close out his career. Before retiring.
My twilight years. Yeah. I wouldn't even mind. Make cruising games, I'll be there.
Do your sunset sabbatical.
Yeah. We're sunsetting Matthew McMuscles right now into the Raw Thrills family.
There you go.
So yeah. I like how Kotaku's article on this like referenced my freak out on Twitter.
Oh. I was wondering why you sent me a Kotaku link.
Because like, someone sent it to me and I was like, oh shit, they did that?
What'd they say?
No, all they did was requote my tweet just saying like everyone has a fucking Donna Drill.
Okay.
That's it.
We've also got in the news the first list of backwards compatible Xbox 360 games.
Anything that strike your fancy here.
Well,
really.
Let's take a look. We've got Black. Everyone's a fan of Black.
Yep.
We've got Blood Rain 2.
Yes. I've
always
yes,
been meaning yes. to
high up there.
Get around to that.
I wrote on Twitter today, yeah, Blackthorn 2. Everyone's like, well, what about Knights of the Old Republic? I'm like, don't worry. This is better than Knights of the Old Republic.
Crimson Skies, legitimately a great game.
Super good.
Fun.
Dead to Rights actually is like, what?
Wow.
Why?
Wow. Fusion fucking Frenzy.
It will be released on every Xbox console ever.
Just in case you needed it. You needed Xbox's branded, whatchamacallit?
Mario Party.
Mario Party. Grabbed by the Ghoulies.
Grabbed by the Ghoulies is fucked up because you can play that on Rare Replay on the Rare Replay game on Xbox One.
I said at Xbox 360. I misspoke. I meant to say Xbox Original.
What? Yeah. So for those that are confused, these like the Xbox One will get an update that if you just put these original discs,
it'll just work.
They'll play at higher resolutions with better clarity, and they're free. I was saying to Wooly in a Twitter message about this. I'm like, remember we had that debate when George was on the podcast and Liam was talking. We're all talking about like how the PS4 was doing backwards compatibility, how the Xbox One was doing back then. And we were like, well, I mean, the Xbox One all backwards compatibility is free. You don't have to pay like $5-$10 for all these PS2 games. And we're all going back and forth on it. And the kind of over under was the PS4 games, the PS2 ones re-released on PS4, were getting little updates. I think some of them getting trophies, mm-hmm. and they're getting increased resolutions and such. And now these are coming out and these are all free. And even if you don't own them, you can buy them if you want. But if you own the original version, now these are free and also getting these resolution updates. I'm like, you know, it's not to say that it's the most important facet of a games console, but like the one thing I think Microsoft is doing better than Sony right now is backwards compatibility.
Dude, it's a perfect solution. The only problem with this is that it sucks for people who got rid of their discs.
Yeah.
Who a lot of people.
I don't know what the fee is to get these again if you don't own the discs, though.
Yeah.
I know there is a fee if you don't own them.
A lot of people got rid of their old green boxes, you know, and whatnot. I can't blame them, but all I can say is, yeah. Like, I'm a fan of the don't sell it, fuck you approach, because
yeah.
It's never worth it, and you might want to go back for some reason.
Never know.
And now that this
unless
is
you've already done a video on the game, then you could throw it out.
Sure.
So yeah, Grabbed by the Ghoulies, Ninja Gaiden Black.
Yeah, Prince of Persia: Sands of Time.
Ubisoft released a new Prince of Persia.
Hey. Prettier than ever.
Yeah, that's true.
The good one. Psychonauts, which is a nice. Touch. Red Faction 2, Sid Meier's Pirates, KOTOR, yay!
Are you going to play this now?
On this version?
Yeah.
Likely, because it removes a lot of obstacles that I had.
All right.
And the King of Fighters, Neo Wave!
Because you demanded it.
What the fuck is that about? What are you doing?
Nah, shut up. It's
why
cool.
Are we doing this?
What's for the
what?
for the eagled eared viewers at home?
Shut up. And you,
Wooly, what is the actual problem with Neo Wave?
For everyone, because no one knows what this is.
Yeah.
The King of Fighters Neo Wave is the game that was made on the Atomos Wave system as the test bed for
nothing.
When they got the test bed for them leaving...
Well, SNK not being SNK anymore.
They were leaving...
Who
the,
bought them?
They were... No, Playmore. No. This was... It was... But yeah, no. Playmore is the whole other thing.
Okay.
This was in the... God. Beyond the dead years, right?
Yeah, in the doldrums.
Beyond the dead years, there was the point in time when KOF was, I want to say, just coming off of 2003...
Three, yes.
Yeah. Coming off of 2003.
But way before 11.
Exactly. And they were switching over to the Atomos Wave engine. Atomos Wave was very good for 11 when they figured out how to do things and all that. But the sacrifice, the War Gods, was King of Fighters Neo Wave.
Yeah.
A shitty-ass piece of shit bad game that just got dumped with a bunch of old sprites.
Well, if you still own your disc... You can play on Xbox One X, the all-in-one entertainment system.
With some of the weirdest fucking systems in... Oh,
man, we should do a fucking fisticuff for it now. Now that you said that.
And all that weird artwork from...
I remember that.
What's his name? Dude that did the art for Battle Coliseum?
Yes.
Like...
I forget his name, but yes, him.
Yeah. There's...
Oh, and that's when it was being published by Ignition... KOF games.
Yeah. Sammy. Because Atomos Wave was Sammy's engine. That's what that was.
I love how the Neo Wave logo is bigger than the King of Fighters logo.
I don't know. Again, they had to test it. They had to figure it out somehow.
God bless them.
They got to a good place.
Yeah.
They got to a good place. So you can go play that. If you have a physical disc of KOF Neo Wave.
Where does KOF start? Here, really.
Yeah. Like, I feel like if you send me a photo, you know.
Yeah, send Wooly a photo of you holding a copy of Neo Wave.
Hold up Neo Wave while doing a thumbs up and...
Have your name written at the bottom.
And staring at this episode of the podcast on your monitor or on your phone, and I don't know.
Then I'll
hit you with a retweet.
We'll retweet it.
And you get a retweet off that.
Yeah.
No context. All right.
Amazing. So yeah, when they like some of those games, I'll be interested to pop in. Like I have a copy of Dead to Rights and Blood Rain 2 and Ninja Gaiden Black and Sands of Time. I like to pop that in just to see what it looks like. So I hope they add. I hope they, because regular 360 backwards compatibility is pretty good now. They already like I think they have over something like 200 titles. So I hope that they keep up with like a pace. Like what was that like? What, 15 games
or
there?
14. 14? 13.
If that happens every couple of months, then, you know, good on you.
I am shocked that you didn't throw Black to the top of that list.
I hate Black.
Oh, God. I remember Black
is
sitting...
Black is cool to shoot around for a few minutes, but it's an actual not fun game.
I remember sitting in your parents' house shooting a wall.
For an hour.
Waiting to see what would happen.
Yeah, I do remember
the
that.
The answer
too.
Was nothing. Mm. Anyway,
Black had its had a fun idea, which is like let's take the cinematic crashes and style of Burnout, let's put it in a shooting game. But they're like, oh fuck, we fucked up and we took too long. We have no story. Just film a bunch of actors in shadow, and just like it's the worst fucking story, and like there's just no identity to the game. You're just basically Gun. Your main character is Gun.
Right. Okay.
You know?
Okay. So.
Like I'd rather play Red Faction 2. Red Faction 2 even has the same type of technology, being able to shoot through a lot of stuff.
But but they never made the claim that you could stand there and shoot across the planet.
I think they did.
Because you can in Red Faction.
Yeah.
But
that's
like
what I mean.
But I mean they pretty much went like amazing, unparalleled, destructible, whatever.
Yeah.
But like Black's whole thing about like, no, you can just shoot a hole through the planet.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm exaggerating. Maybe that's not what they said. But they said something really like a Molyneux-esque planting a seed and letting it grow type of thing.
I remember this having a moniker that'll make your eyes roll out of your skull. I remember on a press release or a game magazine, it said Black, the everything killer.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yo, it killed fucking nothing except itself, maybe?
Black is going to make you its bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus.
Anyway.
Well, speaking of good ideas... We brought up the fact that Resi Rev is coming to the Switch, but it looks like it's not coming alone. There's some fun little 8-bit adventures coming along with it.
Yeah, the port of Resident Evil Revelations 1, which I have no desire to play again, honestly. But it's got these weird 8-bit games. One of them looks exactly like Ghosts and Goblins, but you're Barry Burton.
Well, I mean, right now I'm watching this little basic-ass shooter, and, I mean, this is really just Darkseid Chronicles again, if you think about it.
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
Like, all we're missing is occasionally a little pylon, like a parking pylon that drops down the screen like your zombies. You shoot it, and you get facts about the Umbrella Company.
Mm-hmm. Scroll down a bit.
And
there's this one.
Ghouls and Homunculi.
That's pretty strong.
All right.
I think you play as Barry Burton. The sprite sure looked like him. After his daughter is kidnapped by an unidentified strike team, Barry follows them to the island not found on any map. Can he make it past the hordes of monsters to save his little girl? So yeah, you play as Barry Burton, but you're playing Ghosts and Goblins.
Congratulations to the fun devs that came up with this that probably did so unapproved. by
and it's too late. We already put it in the game.
Unapproved by Capcom. By BizDev.
This kind of reminds me of remember the Dark Void game that D-Make that was like a
Dark Void Zero.
Color?
Dark Void Zero. Yeah,
and that was like the best thing that came out of Dark Void.
Yeah,
so it's similar to that.
No, this is not games as a service. What are you doing?
Should we cancel this? Well, it's coming out tomorrow. Should we cancel this? It's not games as a service.
Dude, I don't know if I ever told you about when I went into the meeting room where the biggest of wigs at Very large wigs at old strike stomping grounds.
Right.
Came in to talk about the new philosophy of games of a service and how we need to move
and this is years
everything.
Ago.
How we need to move everything in that direction. Mm. And like you could hear Liam and my eyes rolling in our heads. Like you could hear
Hear Liam's eyes rolling in your head?
You could hear it. You could hear the
Liam's.
And it was just like, this is GAAS. This is what it is. It's all about the gas.
And that was at a time where it wasn't even really feasible yet. No one knew how to nail it.
Well, everyone knew that the companies doing it right didn't even know what they were doing right they started it. And like they're looking at things like big hits like League and any online game, and just going like, oh my God, yeah, they invented a thing without knowing they were striking it hot. We need to emulate that. Mm-hmm. And we need to move away from
single player
and or even multiplayer stories.
Yeah.
You know? We need to move away from purchasing a video game that you are then finished with. And we need to
get back here and play.
Yeah. You know? And it just really like
And honestly, I'm fine with games as a service for like two or three big games a year, but I don't like everyone. Like, if everyone tries to be the same thing, then anything.
The problem with the phrase games as a service is that it encapsulates the fact that this is now the goal that your company is working towards. It's no longer like a thought that comes from having a good idea for a multiplayer game.
Yes.
It's no longer a thought that is like natural because you're like, yeah, well, this is about a bunch of players getting dropped on an island, shooting each other and surviving, and you mm-hmm, play for a while mm-hmm. and you play online, and thus naturally you're going to be coming back to this and you only play online. Because
we're going to add new things every so often.
And therefore,
free things.
Yeah, and so it kind of serves, like, it acts as a service. Like, it's not like incidental. It's just that it's now like
this... Overwatch is a games as a service basically now
right.
as well.
But the difference between, you know, like just like releasing it because it's what it's okay, like what the best design for the game is versus putting this up above your fucking company's headline.
Yeah.
You know, and in turn you know like don't forget you're here forever. Yeah. Right? Just imagine in the offices every cubicle has games as a service pasted up above it, because nothing is going to get through creatively that is not using that as a design philosophy.
Yeah.
And anything that would get through gets mutated to include that as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that in a bunch of the projects that came out at that time.
Even games that are still single player experiences, and the one right now is fucking Shadow of War Mordor for like, let's make it games as a service, but it's still a single player thing. So let's put all this bullshit in it that it doesn't need loot boxes, whatever. And it doesn't really, like Plague said last podcast, it's like I beat the game without any of that shit. So it was just bolted on for nothing. Bolted on because we think we need it, but we actually really don't. I mean, I always go back to this, even happens like years ago. Like, why does Assassin's Creed come out every year? Or it used to. Because Call of Duty came out every year. Look how much money you can make. And, yeah. But I always go back to, you know what's better than killing yourself and stretching your franchise thin and getting really, really a lot of fatigue, either, like, via the entire gaming population's perception of it?
Yeah.
Is when you fucking drop one mic every 6 years or so. And you fucking blow it up.
Oh, are you saying when you be the Daniel Day-Lewis of the video game industry?
When you be the Grand Theft Auto Daniel Day-Lewis. Yes, exactly. Because fucking GTA 5 comes out, like, is the biggest selling thing ever. Then, over the course of, like, 2-3 years, slowly Xbox One, PS4, and slowly huge multiplayer suite. And you fucking actually dominate. You are the absolute winners, because by the time another GTA comes out, you're gonna sell maybe more as last time.
Like,
whereas like all GTAs and Assassin's Creeds and Call of Duties and whatever, they sell less every time.
This just in, Daniel Day-Lewis spotted. This just in, Daniel Day-Lewis is gone.
You say that on the day that the trailer for his movie drops.
Here's 8 awards he just won.
Yeah.
Here's
I'm going to retire again.
See you in a decade.
Yeah. See you all in a decade.
Look, I'm going to think about what I can say here, but I watched a project that, like, you all are familiar. You all saw. Yeah, at this point, it would pretty much. Anyway, blah. Sorry, I'm just going through.
Yeah,
things
no,
in my head.
I can see the wheels turning your head about. Yeah.
But you like you. I watched a large
scale project,
large major AAA single player adventure. That happened to just be that eventually expand and include a multiplayer for fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then have the single player entirely scrapped and the multiplayer become the only thing.
Yes.
And then that budget and then that thing becomes an actual focus. And they go, this is the part of this project that we're going to focus on and push because this is the part that we can make a service.
Yeah.
And so we're just going to hold on to this multiplayer shell that means nothing without the giant single player campaign that was supposed to come with it.
Mm-hmm.
And surprise, surprise, no one gave a fuck.
Mm.
And then time to close that down like seconds after it came out.
Mm.
And, you know, it was just the living application of this. But it doesn't matter because it's worth trying again and again and again because when you strike it once, you strike it for years.
Yeah.
And the money's too good.
But like it's more we need to make money now and constantly. Like, I guess, you know, me saying like Grand Theft Auto must have cost way more than any other game of recent memory, you know, maybe Metal Gear, Phantom Pain or whatever. So I can assume that a lot of publishers can't afford to just, you know, twiddle their thumbs and wait for a product to be developed over the course of 5 years. I realize that people can't do that, but like with certain franchises, you certainly can. Like Ubisoft could certainly do that with Assassin's Creed now. They have enough other products coming out. They can milk Tom Clancy's bloated corpse for as long as they want, really, and just wait until certain things are ready to be like have an actual air of anticipation around them. And it worked for me for Assassin's Creed Origins, but you and other people are still like, I'm still good. Like, it needs even more, like, for some people, it still needs even more time in the background until it can come out to after a certain point where it can actually excite you again.
That launch trailer was pretty hot.
Sorry?
That launch trailer was pretty
hot. Okay, I'm glad, because, you know, a few months ago, you were like, yeah, it looks okay.
That launch trailer was pretty hot.
It was pretty hot.
But yeah, well, it's just, you know, take whatever opinions you have of, like, someone who's high up in whatever video game company that's like, we want to make and continue to make these games. And then take all the producers that are like, just their job is to look at
after
the
driving
finances.
All their Ferraris through strip clubs, they decide, oh shit,
we need to make more. And then echo them, their voices with all the investors,
yeah,
who are the same people whose transcripts you can see in the Nintendo investors meeting,
which is
things.
Painful.
They're basically children.
Yes.
With lots of money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And take those voices and then like embody those into a producer who has to come in and then basically, or a publisher, I should say,
yeah,
who comes in and decides how things are going to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going away. It is what it is. And that's just the state of the industry. And it makes more sense for them to continue trying to take a thing you might know the name of, make it a service type game that can last for the next 5 years or so of continued income, than to take a risk on a thing, make it a giant single player adventure, and then have it bomb because the people making the game didn't know how to make it good enough.
But then you'll
you know,
you'll
it's see. Almost a self, sorry, it's almost a self-correcting, a position based on the fact that company sees that they've released bombs, right?
Yeah.
Not everything catches.
No.
Some things get niche, but for the most part, they're trying to get that huge, huge initial boom. And they're seeing lots of bombs. It's almost a self-correcting behavior to be like, well, we might as well bomb in a way that, like, if we do hit, it can make up for it by like, really raking it in continuously every month than being a single one-off that then disappears.
Well, it's like one of those weird anomalies that happened on the DS, maybe sometimes the Wii, depending, but it was like, let's release a bunch of Call of Duties on every platform, and it's like, let's release a Call of Duty on the DS, who cares, just fucking release it. That version goes on to sell a million copies. Like, the version that you spent zero money on. What's the most successful SKU of Street Fighter 4 of all time?
3DS.
Because it sold consistently over the course of like 2-3 years.
Yep.
And like that is the actual, that's where you won, actually. Yeah. You spent the least amount of money on that version, but you somehow made the most.
People that have a 3DS going, well, yeah, I guess I want Street Fighter.
I
want to
see
this.
These little dioramas move around.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I was going to say, you know, it's like the weird anti-behavior of this where there's a little bit of pushback. And I hope companies that do kind of just go, oh, fuck this. Just games as a service. Just mm-hmm. make whatever.
Oh, I have a good one. But yeah,
is Star Wars Battlefront.
OK.
That game comes out and it's fine. There's nothing to do, really. There's a minuscule amount of content, but it looks great and plays OK. There is some bits of DLC that were added. But it sold so well because it came out right when Force Awakens came out. And just generally, Star Wars games sell pretty good, depending. Then there's all this pushback going, you know what would be cool for a Star Wars game? Star Wars. Like a story or like characters, something to rally around. I know other Battlefront games in the past, the old ones, didn't have much of a story. If they did, I didn't play them all. But now we're getting this like massive, like 5 to 7 hour single player story mode on top of all these new multiplayer modes, heroes across everything. Like that is the, I did not buy Battlefront. And when I played it a bit from a Shinma episode, I was not impressed by Battlefront, but this one, I'm like, do I want to play as Darth Maul fighting Rey or Finn? Yeah, I do. Do I want to play as this like new story within like the new universe of Force Awakens and The Last Jedi? Of course I do. Why wouldn't I? So that's where I'm going in, and like I'm going to assume that's going to sell way better than the first one. A, because it's a sequel, and B, it actually has more of the things we want. If it was just called like Space Guys,
yeah,
it could have been a multiplayer thing. But the fact that you're coming off a huge cinematic universe with a lot of storytelling,
I mean, I'm still like,
it's always a mistake to not have a story mode.
Yeah, I still feel that, like, I don't know, maybe I feel like a little bit duped in that it was when they said like, oh no, this is gonna be Battlefront was gonna be the platform for Star Wars, and they're this is our one game.
Big dupe.
And then this is it. And then when the next game movie comes out, the DLC, but it's all gonna be here on this. And the idea that they're going to just hold on to that and work with it for a while, like a Rock Band thing,
yeah,
was a thought that I was just naive for thinking they might not be lying about. But,
yeah,
I'd
like to think,
you know,
that they'll do that.
I
for
hear
this
you,
one.
But like, I was on the first game hoping that was going to be the case type
no,
of thing.
I wasn't.
Know? So, what are you going to do?
You don't get to play as Darth Maul then.
Well, I mean, I played as Boba Fett. I played as Vader. I played as the VR X-Wing pilot. I had a good time.
Okay.
Did you spend any time with the first game?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I it was pretty fun.
Yeah, no, nothing wrong with the way it played, but I was like, that's it.
Yeah. No, it is nice, though. You're all right. That is a good thing. The other good thing, fighting back, and I can't find the fucking picture, but it was really cool. It was just a collection of images of like the highest rated games releases on OpenCritic of the year, and they're all these single player indie games, Cuphead and
that, you know what, I can't think of anything the more opposite of a games as a service than Cuphead.
Than fucking Cuphead. Yeah no, for sure. And it was just like, it was just a giant list of like, and then people made like image markers of stuff of like, thank you for still releasing, not you, EA, single player games, you know, and whatnot. Like, yeah, it's nice to know that, you know, there's still giant, awesome games that are doing really well, that are fantastic, that are going to be coming out because indie developers are putting out whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah.
You know, that's the one silver lining, I suppose. But as far as like larger major things go, it's a world of gas, it's a world of loot boxes, it's a world of, you know,
you saw
mini buys.
You saw, I'm not sure we talked about it initially when it happened, but you saw that metric that Blizzard put out in May of this year. I think they updated it since, but I couldn't really find a follow-up article to it. You see how much money they made just on loot boxes for Overwatch.
Blizzard?
Yeah.
No.
You want to take a stab, throw out a number.
Oh, God. Like What I need to know is not the number, but I need to know how much more than sales of the game itself.
Infinitely more.
Yeah, okay.
Like, still want to throw out a number?
God, don't say like a billion.
A billion dollars.
$1 billion in loot boxes. Jesus fucking Christ.
And I think they updated it since.
Oh, wow. That's a lot. Okay.
So, you know, when a company says, we made $1 billion on these shitty sprays.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I was misremembering. It wasn't just indie games. It was just like some proper titles too as well, but it was like thank you Neo and Nier and Persona and Zelda. Exactly. The major huge single player games that came out. You know, fucking Horizon Zero Dawn came out this year. Like all that cool shit that came out around,
January to like April.
That I think it was March when we or April when we were just panicking, looking at too many games to buy and whatnot around Zelda's time. Exactly.
When a company says we made $1 billion off these random gifts, like every other company,
who are you to say no? I'm not going to do that. No. It's just Charlie Day looking like standing around pointing at the board, and everyone's like, "But we don't want it." He's like, $1 billion, you know? It's just $1 billion. What are you gonna do? Not do that?
But you are at the same time, you're fucking Blizzard, and you have a bunch of waifus and husbandos. Like, that doesn't work.
But when you're not Blizzard, right? And then someone stands up and goes, We don't want to do that. We have some really good ideas. Thank you kindly. Pack up your things.
Yeah.
Your boxes. Or he just gets up on the table and cuts off his head like Boss Tanaka and says, as your leader, I know that you might have find reasons to question my logic.
Please talk to me in an open way and allow me to convince you that loot boxes are the way we're going to go.
The price you
pay. And if
you
bring up single player or stories,
I collect your fucking head. Just like this fuck over here. Gonna fuck you.
And it's Amy Hennig's head.
Oh, man.
That's, it's visceral.
Yeah,
games.
Yeah. And everyone else is like, da-da-dong. Fuck.
Yeah. So if you do you have that there just in general? Do you want to talk about like Blizzard just EA just shutting down Visceral Games and taking their big
you take that one.
I was just gonna say, like, that was always a game in the back of my mind. I'm like, Battlefront is fine. Everyone that wants multiplayer stuff, there you go. Have fun with that. We have a big, huge single player. After Star Wars 1338 or whatever the fuck that was, remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
They got canceled?
Yeah, 1313.
1313? Hey, we always have this to go back on.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they didn't outright cancel it. They're moving it to... God, it was such weird nomenclature that they used in the press release. Or like, this company, EA Vancouver, was already working on it, so we're going to take what Visceral... We need to, what was it, swing the pendulum to another focus. And everyone assumes, although Jason Schreier said, like, they didn't cancel it or move it away from Visceral because it was a single-player only experience. They moved it away because it was being a disaster, apparently. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, internally, mm-hmm. It was a disaster. I don't know. But still, man, Visceral, like, I always kind of felt like they're going to be shut down because they haven't released a product in I don't know how long. Since Dead Space 3, Dante's Inferno, I don't even know the last game that they actually fully made. I think they worked on some Call of Duties. I don't know. Medal of Honors or Battlefields. I don't fucking care. Hate EA. Like, EA shut down a lot of great companies that they purchased. None of them, a lot of them meant certain things to certain people for the games that they used to make, but like none of the companies. Well, they did shut down Criterion, makers of Burnout. That's true.
Well, here's the thing, right? Because I generally haven't. Let me go back and think. But I don't think I've really played Visceral games at all, really, because I didn't.
Well, it's the Dead Space games and Dante's Inferno,
exactly.
Really.
And beyond that, this used to be EA Redwood. right? So, so here's the thing: is that's the only thing that's a bit weird and different about the story is that, like, you know, there's been a lot of sentiment of like, if you get bought by EA, it's where you go to die, right? Don't let
no one's gotten out.
Right. Don't get bought by EA because your company will just get shut the fuck down when they're done with you.
Yeah.
They'll use you for whatever you're good for, drain you out, and then toss your husk.
Like right now, the only outside company I know is like DICE. DICE has been fine for like decades or something.
But as far as I know or knew, based on talking to people that worked there and from obvious public history, I mean, Visceral didn't get bought by EA. It was EA.
No, it's true.
It was just one of their internal studios that called themselves Visceral Games. And so it ended up being branded separately and feeling like it wasn't a studio that was from EA.
Like EA always 100% owned it.
Yeah. They used to be called EA Redwood. Exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
So this is what's a bit different here is it wasn't like they got bought and shut down. It wasn't a fucking Lionhead situation. This was just...
Thanks for reminding me about that. I forgot that they were EA Redwood.
This was just a company that was already EA internally. It's like Capcom shutting down Studio 5.
EA Redwood made some of the latter James Bond games that EA had published.
They did.
It was just, I remember the logo and it did the Bondathon.
From Russia with Love, Everything or Nothing. Yeah.
Those were like good Bond games. And then like, I think after that,
a bunch of Sims shit.
Everything or Nothing. From Russia with Love was like 2005, 2006 maybe. So then right after that, maybe 2 years later, like Dead Space came out.
And then the Battlefield stuff.
Yeah.
But no, that's... So
still sucks.
So it does. But like, that's one thing that it was just that... It's not the same as like, oh, nice. We got bought, so we don't have to worry about shit. And then we got fucking tossed. It's not another one of those classic stories as much as it is EA just like dissolving their own.
Because it's the risk reward of, oh, we're covered by this huge corporation, so we're good. We don't have to fight for everything that we get.
And
you do have to fight for survival in a completely different way.
But generally speaking, you know, like the difference between the companies that get bought is that like those ones are usually founded by people trying to get away from the bullshit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like it comes up and catches them anyway because you did too good. Then someone writes you a check that's like, you know, there's once too many zeros for you to say no to.
Based on
the lights currently blinking in the office.
If you get bought by Nintendo, though, for some reason, even if you don't put out games for years and years, Retro, you're just okay for some reason.
I bet you it's because they're just doing like internal testing shit. You know what
something.
I mean? They're doing some weird non-game related.
I can't think of
like software for fucking medical devices or something. Yeah. You know, like, I don't know.
There has to be an example of Nintendo buying a company and then just it shuttering. I can't think. I know that if you leave Nintendo, like Silicon Knights did, it doesn't really work out in the end, unfortunately for them. But,
unless you're Clover and you become Seeds and then you become Platinum.
What do you mean? What does that have to do with anything?
Like leaving Nintendo, but leaving Capcom was totally fine, for example. Like, are you saying Nintendo specifically or just big companies?
Nintendo specifically.
Yeah,
I just can't think of it. But I mean, to be fair, they got their company shut down. Then they had to start over again with their own capital, Inaba.
Yes, true.
So it is a little bit different.
It's not
like they just rebranded the name on their front door.
Yeah. And, you know, same thing for fucking Ludens.
Did Seeds put out a game?
No, never. Nothing.
They
hadn't.
They just instantly rebranded to Platinum like 2 months later.
It was longer than that. I remember because I was like, oh, the clover flower is now Seeds. Oh, cool.
But they never put out a game.
No,
and then
they put out a logo.
Logo, right.
Put out a logo. And
I forgot about Seeds.
Everyone forgot about Seeds. I didn't because I was like, it's like a clover flower. And I was a little bit bummed. Okay, I'm not gonna lie. I was very bummed when the name Platinum Games first came out.
I think I remember this conversation where you were like,
that has nothing to do with,
that's so un-Japanese. Like, we're fucking Platinum Bird.
Exactly. You know? Like, because Platinum is it's a very like, yeah, over the top. Exactly.
It's American.
It's a very American. It's very hip hop. It's not a thing that you really just shout out meekly. You know what I mean?
Platinum Games.
Yeah. So I remember, and I was like, that's very different from the aesthetic of the fucking, the Cloverly, you know?
It's very different.
So I was like, all right. It doesn't matter, but it does.
Yeah.
But anyway, whatever. It eventually, you know what sold me?
What? The jingle?
Platinum never loses its luster.
I was like,
you motherfuckers.
Because that's a bit of Japanese.
You motherfuckers, you got me. You got me in. I fucking bought it.
Yes, sad. I hope that Star Wars games comes back. And if it has loot boxes, though, then it was all for nothing. What did we fight for?
So this one is just for me right now, but they also...
I'll support you.
They announced, well, actually, you should be happy with this because it's Switch news. The biggest fucking deal ever.
Oh, Shin Megami Tensei 5.
Proper announced for this. This is the reason why...
what happened?
This is the best thing to come from the Switch type of idea, a philosophy.
Okay,
right?
What was that?
The whole bringing together handheld and whatever console shit, whatever. Because SMT4 came out on fucking 3DS, but I don't feel like SMT4 they would not have put that on the Wii U. You know,
probably not.
So
if they're smart.
So finally we can get them doing the same type of thing where they're like, yeah, let's make another one in the same way we did 4, but now it's a proper system so it can look amazing and sound amazing and have a real fucking budget and look a lot better than, you know, 4 did, which 4 was still a phenomenal game, but at the end of the day it was a 3DS game.
And there was a really brief trailer for this that showed a little bit of footage, huh?
It did. It looks fucking great.
Yeah, I saw it.
Going through the metro tunnels and seeing dead Onis and personas on the ground. Oh, personas, demons on the ground. Persona. Oof, yeah. Oh, that's gonna get some.
That's gonna
bang bang. Pew 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 pew. Fire back. Anyway, dead demons on the ground. It's
absorb the bullets.
Looks incredible. Nothing else to say beyond holy
I can't wait.
4 was incredible.
Me not knowing much about, I know more about Persona than Shin Megami Tensei, but I was like, whoa, this is a numbered sequel though, so I'm sure that is a bigger deal, because for a long time this project was called SMT HD.
Yeah,
that's all it was known as, and I assume many people probably was this is just a port of an older game. Maybe it's just SMT4 for the Switch.
Which, guess what?
Well, you would have been fine with.
It would have been really cool.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have had any problems there. But...
So, you know, when someone asks for something stupid from Nintendo, a cool thing that would never, ever happen? Mm-hmm. They should release, a fucking Halo game, or there should be, a brand new exclusive Grand Theft, stuff that would never happen? You know... I never ask for that stuff from Nintendo because I've been beat enough to know that it's not going to happen.
Yes.
But there are certain things I'm like, why not? This could make money. Mm-hmm. People miss this. And they've already done with Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
Yep.
Why isn't fucking Fire Emblem Cross SMT? Why isn't Fates? Why does that not have a Switch port?
Hashtag Effie.
Yeah. Why did that not get a Switch port 6 months ago? So many people have talked to, Austin, whatever, is this is actually one of the best RPGs I've played. This is as good as any Persona game, but so many people were like, I don't know what this is. I'm confused. I'm not going to play it.
It was released on the cusp.
It was literally the last game, I think, that came out on the Wii U.
You can't do that without talking about a port, and it seems like they must have discussed it and said no.
Sure, but that's where I get frustrated with Nintendo. I'm like, you have to explain why. Yeah. Everyone missed out on this thing.
Yeah, that would have been a fantastic
release. I have the game. I have hashtag Fates in my Wii U that I haven't turned on in like a year.
Yeah.
I just never started it up because I'm just like, no, this is dead system. I don't feel like turning it on.
It's because Tokyo Mirage Sessions bombed.
Tokyo Mirage Sessions.
It's because it's bombed. It's because it didn't sell. And they're like, are we going to port it for it to potentially not sell again? You know?
You should port it for a thing that people own.
I agree.
That's what you should
port. I agree.
So that's why I'm always angry.
Yeah. Seeing that tweet with that dusty Wii U controller. Yeah. Have you seen that?
Yes. It is.
Caked. It's like, yeah, that's kind of the problem is someone had to find out where the power button was through that dust to turn the shit on again, you know? But
there's like a couple of Wii U games I'm just like, yeah, fucking put Fatal Frame 5 on the Switch. You could have just re-released that for October. People would have been able to play it.
Seems
fucking would have worked amazingly on the Switch.
It feels like it's not easy or free.
I'm assuming
you know what I mean.
Not,
it feels like it takes a bit of work.
At the end of the day,
because
you would have less expensive.
You would have seen a lot more. You know, jumping over from one to the other.
What has been? It's just Mario Kart 8. Like, and before that,
not anything not first party.
Before that, Wind Waker HD on the Wii U and Twilight Princess.
Yeah, again,
that's it.
Like not for if find the third party stuff is that's the real question.
Yeah, but if third parties and many of them are still like, oh, I don't want to fucking develop for that super hot system that's making money hands over fist. Oh, I hate that. Then fine, don't support it. Like Nintendo, you have other companies that are literally not doing anything as far as we know right now. Monster Games that literally ported Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze is another one that I mentioned last week.
Yep.
They ported it to the 3DS, fucking port it to the Switch. Tropical Freeze, there's a million games you could have done it with. It's just like if you have these holes in your schedule, well, right now it doesn't because there's like a Fire Emblem came out last week, Mario comes out this week. Doom comes out the week next, then there's Skyrim, then there's, you know, tons of fucking shit. But like next year has something. Where the fuck's Platinum's game?
Look, they're gonna look, all they have to do is drop trowel and like crease open the ass cheeks and breeze out a cough of smash and everybody just comes running.
Yeah.
So just like, you know, the whiff of an announcement about a Smash game hitting the Switch is going to fucking like get everything lined up for them. So it doesn't even matter.
I guess not.
What does matter to you?
Spawn movie.
Is Freddy Krueger.
It doesn't really matter to me too much because I played Dead by Daylight again like a week ago and I'm like, man, I don't like this. It's for some reason to me going back to it, it's much more janky and it's just set up in a different way where I really don't like it compared to Friday the 13th anymore. What it does have is amazing fucking killer design, multiple of them, and they all have their different stats and they're all super cool. That's super strong about this game. And the other thing about it is that they have Michael Myers as a piece of DLC. They have Leatherface as a piece of DLC. And now they're getting fucking Freddy Krueger. What situation has there been where there's one holdout horror icon, holdout icon out of any genre that just, they're like, fuck, that's the last one. And we can't get him.
Mortal Kombat?
I guess so. Like, why couldn't they have gotten the fucking Ripley in Mortal Kombat X? You could have fought an alien and a predator, you know?
Yeah.
Or something.
It's to get both licenses in on the same time, same place, you pretty much, I imagine, like, that have to be the point of the game.
But, yeah. Freddy Krueger's coming to Dead by Daylight. They have a bit of a trailer. And I'm like, that's cool. The killer aspect of the game is great. When you play as the survivors, I don't like it that great. But, I mean, that's neither here nor there. It's a popular game, so that's fine. If people like it, you know, good to them. But, like, it's still awesome that this game just is the one-two, the go-to shop for horror icons in your video games. Yes.
I have a question.
I can answer your question, maybe.
What is it?
What is what?
Dead by Daylight.
Oh, okay, dude. It's just that the game's been around a long time now.
I know, but it's a thing that doesn't enter anything close to my wheelhouse.
Well, it's made by Ass to Mouth.
That's cool.
Okay. Behavior Interactive. Mm-hmm. And it's a 4-on-1 survivors versus killers.
Okay.
It's 1 versus 4.
Okay,
four
so it's
one.
Directly comparable to Friday the 13th.
Yeah, Friday the 13th came out later, mm-hmm. and we did a shitstorm episode of Dead by Daylight like last year.
Okay.
And I was like, this seems all right. I kind of like it or whatever. And then the game was kind of bare bones. There was like 3 killers, I think, and mm-hmm. just whatever.
Okay.
And when I initially booted that up, it just wouldn't even load. I couldn't even get into a match the longest time, like most of these games usually do, much like Friday the 13th.
Okay.
I had problems. But Friday the 13th is just a more methodical, long matches that a lot of things can happen in very, very large maps. Whereas, like, if you could visualize this is more of an arcadey, small maps, like much lower player count. It's only 4 people versus 1.
Yeah.
Whereas Friday the 13th, 7 versus 1. But it's killer designs. If you just put by Dead by Daylight killers into Google, and you'll sure. just see the character designs for them. They're very strong. I think it's like, you know, the strongest part of the game or okay. whatever. But yeah, it's cool that Freddy Krueger's coming in. But the thing with Freddy Krueger is that, like, are you having a map tailored to him? Because then he's just some asshole in a Christmas sweater running around.
Are all these characters, do they have maps tailored to them?
No. I mean, some of them do. Like, mm-hmm. the doctor, there's a, like, weird laboratory stage yeah. for him. But those are the killers. Like, I think the hag is strong, Trapper, Hillbilly, the Huntress. Shape. Yeah.
What? Isn't that just... Is that not just Michael Myers?
It is. I don't know. Actually, I don't know why he's called the
why
Shape.
Why is Michael Myers
also,
called the Shape?
I also, with his DLC, you got Laurie Strode. You got, God, what's her name? The actress in True Lies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
God,
her. Her she's cool.
You get her character in the game as well. So, you know, they do a good job with the characters in this, but I'm like, eh. You know, it's just not my thing. It doesn't play the way I kind of prefer, but it's still cool that it has this DLC. Remember Michael Myers in Call of Duty?
No.
It was the precursor to Predator in Call of Duty.
In the same game?
I think it was in the same game. Yeah, they had DLC packs for the multiplayer. And he worked exactly like the Predator did. You have to, like, unlock him, earn him in a match, and then you promptly cut off the video. Just as you get to him. Yes. But that, remember, Danny Trejo was Machete in a Call of Duty game.
I do.
And I think Buffy, too.
Well, though, they had like the whole Romero
the Romero pack.
Thing.
Yeah, yeah, zombie exactly. thing. So, yeah, Call of Duty will do that. But,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that's cool, I guess. So we've also got the announcement that... what was I gonna say?
I don't know.
No, I was trying to finish off the thought on Shin Megami Tensei.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't give a date on it. Was what I was gonna say. They didn't give a date, but fuck yeah to that. Fuck yeah to whatever other like apocalypse version is gonna come out after this comes out.
Oh right.
Apocalypse. And fuck yeah to the idea that Nintendo, I guess, is just now the Shin Megami Tensei company.
Yeah, kind of like how they became the Fatal Frame
Sony
company.
Sony is the Persona company.
Yeah.
I guess that means Microsoft can get Devil Kids.
Microsoft can be the no Japanese games company.
they can get Jack Bros. Anyway. So there was the announcement that
Microsoft announces we have canceled new Japanese games. Internally, you didn't know about them, but we've canceled them.
So earlier last week, we got the confirmation that
there was a shitload of DBZ news
and Nappa coming straight to the fighters.
So you saw that breakdown on how a Ginyu player would win Evo, right?
I didn't see it, but I heard you talk about it.
It was you're Ginyu and your second player, then you pause the game in the middle of a tourney match. Your opponent, player one, complains to a TO. They come over, you body swap as Ginyu, the first player. They see that player is the one that paused. They They boot him out of Evo. You win.
There you go.
That's it.
There you go.
Body swapping is just that. That's why we put Ginyu in here. What's a Dragon Ball character that can do something unique and stupid? That's why Ginyu's
here. Take control
here.
Over you, yeah.
Even though the story of this game is clearly...
Also, more importantly, looking at the screen, that's why Ginyu's here. Because the fucking
get,
Ginyu Force...
You can get
Force,
an entire cast of characters in
the
there.
Well, no, it's because the pose. The Ginyu Force Sentai pose is the,
we'll
one of the most...
We'll get good tourney hype with people posing.
It's the, one of the most iconic things in the entirety of Dragon Ball history.
There you go.
No one remembers Zarbon and Dodara. Am I even getting that second name right?
Raccoon.
I'm not even talking about the members of the Ginyu Force. I'm talking about...
Oh, you mean just the regular Frieza
the daughters. Fat, spiky girl, and then the other one?
Yeah, Zarbon.
Yeah. No one fucking, you know? But everyone remembers
Ginyu.
Ginyu
Force.
Because the Ginyu Force was fucking sick.
Yeah.
They had a gimmick.
Nappa as well. Nappa's also announced to be a new character.
He is. And Nappa's cool because he's not like...
Seems like he might be another grappler.
Yeah, well, he's a different type from every other like Saiyan type.
Yeah,
cool guy.
Yeah.
I know Raditz would never happen. So
don't say that.
Raditz probably ain't gonna happen.
Watch Golden Ozaru Bardock.
Yeah.
Be announced.
But anyway,
legendary.
God, I can only now. I'm just thinking of.
Broly better be in this, just because.
I think
Broly's hilarious.
Because Naruto has a character called Get Deidara in it, so it's very. So I'm like, what the fuck was the original character's Dodoria? Dodoria, yeah, okay, sure. Uh-huh. Anyway, who cares? Captain Ginyu and Nappa, and that's cool. Nappa's also gonna have that big crazy mouth laser thing that it looks super dumb, but fuck it. And Ginyu's screenshot has all the strikers coming out, so that's fun. Yay to that. Also, they updated the website and it looks like there's room for
like
a launch
characters?
So potentially a launch characters. Of 24.
That's a good ass roster.
healthy starting roster. And with that came the announcement of the season pass with 8 more characters because games as a service.
Now, to be fair, we've all said like, you know, fighting games should in this climate be kind of considered a service where the game sticks around for a long, long time, longer than they used to stick around. And you just add more like
100%.
DLC.
But it always comes down to. The very same problem, which is the conflict and that comes with perception.
Yeah.
How you release your news, okay? We've addressed the problem with Street Fighter Cross Tekken back in the day. What was it? Well,
it was everything.
Here, certainly. But here, some fucking miners found model data for these characters that you're going to be selling. Here they are in the game incomplete. We could have just unlocked them. You shipped the disc with the DLC on it.
Yes.
And then sold codes. Right? Fine. That was bullshit.
And
the
reasons you held it back was for the Vita port no one played.
Right. The one of the answers was then, okay, let's just do the same thing.
Yeah.
Programming wise and development wise, except separate the files so that you actually have to download those files.
Mm-hmm.
So people don't feel as bad about when they're buying the keys that could have just been for content.
Because the character is like not complete or whatever.
Because it's already done, right? Yeah. Every single fighter right now is fucking up this stupid DLC selling people characters thing plan because they're announcing this shit
before
the fucking game is out.
That's true.
What are you doing? We know we like the game and we're gonna buy it. Stop telling us the extra shit that you need us to spend money on. But if you don't do that, then people might not buy the season pass or the special version that allows you to get that season of characters coming later. But the whole point is that, like, simply because the thing is not in your hands yet and you're already talking about a premium service that you're going to be selling for the thing, people can't help but feel nickeled and dimed Because the original thing is not even here. And if you went back to something that I already had and was enjoying and then said, we're making more stuff for it, right? Very few people are going to find issue with being like, I like this thing. I'll totally go get more cool new things for it because, yay, I like to see my thing supported. But when it's and of course, this stuff is always planned ahead of time with game development. But the perception is fucked when it's all way, way ahead of time.
Maybe if you're on the road to redemption, maybe you're trying to have like a new sequel to bury the old piece of shit, or like there's some problem with it and you want to get back in the good grace and say, we're more content, more whatever. I can kind of see like them just wanting to get people excited by saying we're going to have all this stuff. But when you have so much goodwill, like Dragon Ball, like you said, like people, I am already excited for this base product. I don't really care. Like, I agree, and when you're in this situation, it's like, you don't need to, you have enough hype. You literally have all the hype right now.
But then,
you don't need
but Mr. King Dice has to roll in, and for a few dollars more, and it's like, guys.
Little season pass shows up in his car, and he's like, yo, come into the season pass car.
I just, like, they were already there, right? And again, it's just perception. Because, like I said, with Cross Tekken, no one likes the idea that the DLC exists ready and finished before launch.
Yeah.
But what you don't know has less of a chance of hurting you when you're sold the game where the DLC is not on the disc. You go, right? I can't prove that wasn't ready beforehand. I'll shake my fist, but here you
also,
go.
Also, if you don't want people finding out about that the model data is anywhere, don't release your game on PC.
Well, there's that.
Release it later.
Yeah, there's that. Right.
Don't release betas for it. Don't let anyone get access to the PC.
Hide those files.
Until the last second.
Hide those fucking files. But it's just the obvious problem when people are like, I'm already saving up to buy your game, and now you've announced the extra stuff to spend money on.
And this isn't this
and all of this in my head.
Edition?
Yeah.
Announced today, it's like the Dragon Ball Ultimate Edition gets...
Ultimate Edition includes the pass, the season
pass. Okay, no,
And
so
the fucking thing that I called, that I wanted so bad, is the music from the anime is also in the Ultimate Edition.
So you gotta get the Ultimate Edition.
That's the only way to get that music.
What's commentator voice pack?
The Budokai commentator guy.
What fighting game had a commentator voice pack? It was like an indie
game.
Yeah,
that was Yatagarasu.
Yeah,
it had,
that was neat.
Yeah, it had Ultra David and James Chen and
it was
Kokujin and Maximilian.
It was annoying
because
it had the faces.
Yeah, but then it was fun.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that.
It was fun to hear FGC people. But no, so that's all it is, man. It's just, it's in the person, in the consumer's head. This is all just the nebulous future. Mm. And to you... At BizDev, it feels like that's exactly what it is.
At BizDev Corp.
Yes. At BizDev, you feel like we can announce this, and this is a plan for a package, and then we have a separate package, which is of different value. So these two things together, it makes sense why these things has a value and this thing has a value.
This is for hype, but this is for mega hype, this
package. And it makes sense. We're releasing these two things and a side product. But... to the person who's way, way, way before all of this, that's just like, I can only play this all in the future. You're just like, it's just, you've just announced a price increase on the thing.
And I just realized, furthermore, if you do a digital pre-order for Dragon Ball Z Fighters, you get more extra bullshit.
Yeah.
That is early access to another open beta, early unlocks. So this leads me to my next thing. When I saw the select screen, maybe I haven't seen it, but I'm actually kind of like, A, I thought they said this. Correct me if I'm wrong. And B, it's like, why does Super Saiyan God, Super Saiyan Goku, and Vegeta get two fucking slots? That's horseshit.
Well, because...
I thought they had said in a press release that we're not going to have multiple versions.
No, they didn't. But
That's why Goku is Super Saiyan, goes Super Saiyan 3.
Yeah.
And is super.
Yeah,
so that's all you need to do.
Yeah, but no, that's not going to happen. Because, you know, dude, like, fucking... title card character push, like, you got it.
Sure, but it's still like
Oni and Evil Ryu.
They play more. They play more differently than those two do.
They play pretty different.
Really?
Yeah, they do.
I thought they had the same specials.
They have different specials. Okay, I mean, some of the like Big Bang Attack is not even a super. It's a normal.
All right, fair enough. But still,
no. Mechanically, they're different characters. But yes, but we like variety more than. We like variety more than a random fan likes cool Super Saiyan Blue.
Yeah.
So end of you know thought there.
Thought is now ended.
But anyway, the point is that it's not going away. It's a new thing. It's going to happen.
It's not gonna go
and away. We're seeing this being put onto the hypest looking fighting game of next year. Like this looks like it's going to be the best fucking fighter.
What's the one fighting game that doesn't actually do this?
Killer Instinct.
Big fighting game. I wasn't even thinking about Killer Instinct, but yeah, it actually didn't do this.
I mean, it sold characters individually.
It did, but it was more like we're going to have seasons of this, whatever. But
it sold characters individually, but like it won. Content was made after the shit came out.
Well, what I was thinking was Smash.
Smash
didn't had no season pass,
yeah,
nothing.
You're right.
And they would have directs months after the game come out about DLC. Mm-hmm.
There was just two versions of the game, and
they're just a handheld and a regular. But that's like sometimes Nintendo being so slow actually benefits them in certain instances like that. They're not going to fucking announce. Well, I mean, for Zelda, didn't they announce the DLC packs for Zelda? They just said additional content would be coming.
No, there was a piece of extra content for Smash 4 on the eShop, though. I'm trying to remember what it was. I remember going on to download like Bayo and stuff and then seeing other shit. I don't remember what it was, but there was DLC for Smash 4.
No, there was for sure, but they wouldn't frame it in a season pass style way.
No. And it all came out after the game.
Yeah, like way it after launched. The game.
So, you know, that's what it is, man. It's just about perception, you know, like
it's all about reality.
You can and making some noise. You can't tell people how to develop their game, but you can tell people when to announce shit. Mm-hmm. And doing this all ahead of time is just such a huge mistake because you do nothing but garner ill will. And this is a game with nothing but
goodwill.
Exactly.
But even today with this announcement, I saw like two people in my timeline that never shut up about Dragon Ball FighterZ, and they're just like, don't like this.
No, there's not much reason that you would.
Yeah.
The honest truth is it's you know, it's a
I mean, honestly, I don't care because I'm used to it.
At best, yes. But it's like based on the way this news comes out, at best, the person who's like gonna buy it goes, all right, company just announces price increase, or at worst, company announces shit in the game I'm never gonna get to see.
Yeah.
There's only two. There's no in between there.
None.
And you know, all you can really be left thinking is like, the game's not out and that stuff is going to be made, so why not put it there?
Yeah.
You know, and like, even though like, it's like, they'll give you a very, like Matt Dahlgren will tell you something as logical as, well, the budget for creating that extra stuff was a complete separate project internally.
Yes.
And everyone's like, who gives a fuck?
Yeah. At BizDev Corp, we allocated funds.
Oh, thank you for showing me the folder for the project when it was created and showing me the date.
The timestamp on
it. So the DLC folder.
Sort by last day modified.
Okay. DLC 2 was, that project folder was only created months later.
Yeah.
So that's a separate budget.
That'll still annoy you enough knowing like that's true. And that's how games are developed. And you could say that as cows come home. I also know that. But like it will still annoy us. Like I don't give a shit when it was greenlit and how much money you allocated for it. You told us before the product was out. You told us months before the product was out. So it doesn't matter, really. And it's like, man, this DLC for Deus Ex sure was developed way later. It fucking wasn't. We knew it.
Yeah.
It's a good bit of DLC. Actually, it's pretty bland. But, it was made separately, but it wasn't made at a different time.
Fill in the missing link, you guys.
I love, you know what I miss? That type of DLC where they were trying to be like, hey, yes, plug in the holes we left with money. There's a couple of games that did that.
A DLC called True Ending. Asura's Wrath.
I don't
Prince of Persia.
Prince of Persia's Prince of Persia 2008 did kind of do that. Nothing made me more furious than finishing Asura's Wrath and seeing some fucking game get into my face and say, fucking pay me for the fucking ending. That's shit. It wasn't any better or any more enlightening than the fucking regular ending.
So good.
Was the worst. Like, yeah. I hope whoever decided that falls down today. I don't wish their death. I don't wish a loved one die. I hope they fall down a set of stairs today.
Like, Azura's about to punch a guy or whatever, and then it pauses, and like an old black and white dude with a cane and a top hat walks in and goes,
and he's got like four canes.
I bet you're sure wondering what happened to me and the rest of this adventure, eh, gang? Oh, God.
Or, like, my console, like, since I was playing Asura's Wrath of 360, just somehow morphs, like, a slot to put in dollar bills so I can see the rest of the fucking shit-ass ending of Asura's Wrath. I hope Max bites his own tongue today, because he loves Asura's Wrath.
Oh. Okay, I was like, where's that going?
No, that's the illest I could wish upon him.
Yeah.
Just fucking pay me for the ending. think about that. Not the missing link. The fucking ending.
Yeah, because I was gonna go down a joke branch.
Yeah.
Of like names of DLC things where it sounds like it's optional, but it's really not optional. You know, the truth. Or, you know, the
imagine we're playing Dong Dong Never Dies and it's like, you give us more money so we can show you Streets of Rage 4.
Questions answered DLC. You're like, fuck you, man. Do I really get a choice here?
Maybe.
No, it's optional, dude.
But you'll learn the truth. I need to look it up at what the time frame was, but I think it might have been. I think the Prince of Persia ending was actually developed because they were like, oh shit, people really hate the ending.
Okay,
we have to make something real quick.
You go on the go on PSN and you're looking at add-ons and you just see like secrets revealed and it's just the main character's face going like, oh! Like Parks and Rec face, like shitty old thumbnail, YouTube like attention clickbait thumbnail.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they're doing clickbait antics on like, but not on YouTube, but on fucking your DLC store to be like, well, you won't believe what happens in this DLC. Little arrows with circles pointing at shit.
It's pointing at true end.
Just giant asses, you know, like we start seeing the entire YouTube thumbnail era.
Dude, that's really strong.
Recycling into DLC ads and thumbnails. Fuck. Getting clickbait.
That's good.
Clickbait DLC, dude. I'm telling you, that's really the only place left to go.
And you're playing like Journey or something, and it's, the thumbnail is just big titties.
Oh, man. Reactions. Anyway.
Asura reacts to his own true ending. And he's like, oh.
I can't believe it.
And the end is, like I said, the end is fucking shit.
Oh, man.
You know what? Okay, since you haven't seen it, you know the worst thing about the ending of Asura's Wrath, without me actually saying what it is?
Yeah.
Is that, remember when you said the fucking Asura starts dancing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you said it pauses the ending. That's almost what it is, where it's in a piece of artwork. And then when you put in more money, the true ending it starts on that last shot you saw
there
from the ending.
There you go. Yeah.
By playing that piece of shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so flagrant. It's not like it wasn't developed later. It was just fucking, we need money. Just cut the ending in two and sell it.
Adam Jensen, pranks in the hood. Stepping on Jordans in the hood.
Makeup tutorials.
Gotta click. Gotta find out. Oh my God. All right. All right. DLC in the hood. So anyway, in not video game news, for like the eighth time, we're being told that Godzilla, Pacific Rim, and King Kong can cross over. And you know what? I enjoy that people feel the need to tickle my balls every couple months. I enjoy it.
Well, you read the quote.
Yeah, I read the but the quote.
It's from the director.
Because I know. But like, it's like, how many more of these stories do we need to do? I click on it. I scroll past all the preamble bullshit. Okay, go straight to the thing where it says, "Look, I think it would be fantastic to have Pacific Rim Universe join Legendary's Monster Universe. Seems like a natural step and part of the overall plan for the third movie. We talked about that could happen. It's always a possibility. Not far from certainty. Merely theoretical at this point. But as a fan, I'd love to see that happen. Great." Right, and this happens every couple months.
This is the only actual like quote from someone that worked on it.
Okay,
that I've ever seen. A lot of it's like speculation, whatever. What I think even gives credence to this ever actually happened is Japan loves Pacific Rim. They're fucking making figures out the ass for Pacific Rim. Fucking Shinkawa did the fucking poster for like. It's not like it's not robot jocks where Japan's like what. Who?
Mm-hmm.
They're aware of Pacific Rim. They're like, holy shit, look at these Americans fucking actually making this mecha thing. I can't believe it. And that's the only thing that makes me go. But like Toho and whoever the fuck owns King Kong, one of the other American companies opened King Kong, it's still like messy. It's still not all clean. It's not like one person owns everybody. But I think Legendary owns... has the license for making their own Godzilla character up until a certain point, 2020, I think. So if this is going to happen, it's got to happen soon. But that's what the third Pacific Rim movie should be, honestly.
Hopefully, yeah.
Because King Kong doesn't need it. Godzilla doesn't need it, but Pacific Rim needs it.
But they'd never dedicate a number to that so much as they would create a new thing for everyone to have, like... Because,
call it Pacific Rim Battle Royale.
But who gets top billing? King Kong, Godzilla, or Pacific Rim?
Pacific Rim.
Whoever owns
the monsters that they fight are them.
But whoever owns the thing wants their name top billing because King Kong guys are going to be like, but King Kong's
that's
the biggest
deal. That's why I say King Kong is not the biggest
deal. Okay, but the guys who paid the money and have the thing are going to want to act like that's the truth, even though it's not.
King Kong's the biggest deal.
You know what I mean? So the problem there is like any other multi-licensed crossover game. Is that you can't do this in the context of one thing. You have to create a new thing with a new series of fucking giant contracts to sign on the table.
Why are they giant?
Because you have
to... Oh, I thought you meant the like novelty check size.
No. They're just multi pages. They're huge, thick contracts. Because who wins? Nobody. Because you can't have a King Kong die at the hands of a Jaeger. You know, you can't have a fucking Jaeger blow up at the hands of Godzilla.
But then you do the simple versus movie thing or versus comic books, whatever.
They all team up to kill the new monster.
Scraps, and then, like, Godzilla looks up, King Kong looks up, and fucking Gypsy Avenger looks up, and then they all look at the same monster, and they turn, and the crowd goes nuts.
Exactly.
That's fucking money.
Sure.
Right there.
Sure. But,
dude,
but that's the thing is that
Godzilla
there's no way
King Kong aren't even inherently evil, especially in their own movies.
People that own that have their brand want their brand to be the thing and to have a crossover thing. I could be super wrong and it goes in the complete opposite direction right now, right? In the future, when you click back on this and it's like, wow, it completely didn't go the way Willie was describing.
Yeah.
But I feel as if traditionally people will go like, I want my property to get the respect it deserves, and the only way for that to happen, for me to negotiate here, is for us to create a brand new movie for where all these things come together.
Maybe, yeah.
We don't want a guest star in your Pacific Rim movie so much as we want a triple billing.
There's a Godzilla 2 Godzilla King of the Monsters, then there's King Kong versus Godzilla, and every other property doesn't have like a third or second thing. Like King Kong has no follow-up movie right now.
Predators don't show up in Alien titles, you know?
They show up in AVPs.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're right, you're right. But it's not going to be called Pacific Rim. It's not a character versus,
no.
You know, it's got to be something else. That's why it's messy. But yeah, they're like
Godzilla versus Kong on the Pacific Rim.
Legendary has the rights to all these characters. So it's like it could always happen. I'm just glad that this director is like, yeah, we've talked about it, you know.
Sure.
But that's what a third Pacific Rim movie, like, it needs them more than King Kong or Godzilla needs Pacific Rim.
Or just get Ready Player One to fucking do it.
Or the Rampage movie.
Yeah. Yeah, sure, exactly.
That literally has the monsters against each other.
Because guess what? If you've read Ready Player One, you know where that story goes.
Sure.
And, like, the finale leads to something that is kind of close to what we're talking about right now. It's a big Wreck-It Ralph fucking, you know, license brand fap-off, so.
Fap-off! I like it.
Yeah. So, all right. What else is there? There's just the news that, the Assassin's Creed launch trailer was really dope.
That's what the news story says.
The Little Witch Academia Chamber of Time trailer was really nice. That game looks so good. The animation's beautiful.
Hmm.
And there's a new fighting game called Million Arthur being announced
by
Squeenix.
Really?
It's an arcade game.
Whoa.
Anime thing. Arcana Blood arcade game is coming out based on, I think, a mobile series getting adapted. So, yeah, we're getting a new 2D fighter. And it looks, you know,
like an anime 2D fighter.
Looks like a fisticuffs with not much else to say.
You know what looks like a fisticuffs? Fucking Pray for Death being added to Steam.
Sure. Yep. And Slasher and every other thing that's just popped up.
But Pray for Death.
Yep. What about Expect No Mercy?
Expect No Mercy is not on Steam.
No, it's not.
Just Pray for Death.
Yeah, just Pray for Death. All right. Let's take some letters and get the fuck out.
Ooh, emails. If you have an email and you can tell us about how the USS Enterprise might want to destroy cavemen, you can send it at superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
You know what I wanted to do, but I was too lazy? I wanted to grab some excerpts from last podcast when we said things such as, Wooly, if that robot battle just had one punch, and he does a really cool, thing.
Yeah. We want to talk about that.
I mean, very quickly, not much else to say besides obvious.
How'd you like that?
I mean, yeah, dude. It's, you know.
You didn't like it.
No, it's look. All right. This is the tone of voice. It's coming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is the tone of voice where you can read it in advance.
I forgot about this.
Because I'm so predictable. Yeah, dude, of course it was not as hype as it was not as hype as, you know. and what do you want me to, like, I wish the robots moved faster. And then there's a video.
And you not wish they were just like.
But there's a video of, like, the torso moving really fast. And they're like, we can do that. And there's a video of, like, crazy death machines and weapons being put on the thing.
Yeah.
And the dentist, which is the fucking drill. And whatnot arm they had.
Okay.
But then they did the live stream afterwards where they're like, but we don't want to kill each other.
A pilot being in it hurts it.
Yeah, it does. 100%.
It unfortunately does. Now, it's cool that there's a pilot in it, but you could still have a pilot.
But that means
that
they're not willing to do really dangerous, cool shit.
I'd rather see two empty machines beat each other up.
Well, the thing is that, like, they were clearly willing, they were clearly willing to fall, right? Sitting in the cockpit.
Yeah, but.
Take a little bump.
6 foot fall.
Yeah, take a little bump. That's what I mean. But, like, the Curitas was like, I don't want to, don't hurt me. You know? And, like, they're not going to rip the screen off. They're not going to blow the head up. They're not going to, you know? So basically, it's kayfabe. Right?
I didn't know that this was a Kickstarter.
Oh, you didn't know?
No.
Yeah.
So Liam's like, yeah, I put in some money for that.
Yeah.
And, I don't think I got the product I wanted.
No.
And I was like, what's the problem? Because he's like, I didn't want it to be like fake. I wanted it to be real.
Yeah.
And I was like, here's the problem. It wasn't fake enough and it wasn't real enough.
So
it was trying to do both.
Well, the fakeness aspect was when they had to describe how like between each pause, that was like a day. Because they did hours of repairs on the robots to then recommence the next round.
Of course, that makes sense.
So practicality, you can't do it live for those reasons, right?
Yeah.
So that's understood. You're probably going to you're going to have to have a filmed, edited thing. Fine. The fact that you're like, what? Okay, you're taking little pot shots and doing like, I'm going to grab the thing and what?
Fucking stupid.
You planned out your little battle, right? Okay, and here's the thing. I want more than anything real fast battles with real fast danger.
That's the subtitle of a game.
But
real fast danger.
But, right? Understanding the technical and realistic limitations.
Uh-huh.
If you're going to go the kayfabe route, then like you have to
do it well. How about?
Yeah, you can't have the fucking Spanish announcers table running away.
I'd love to see a robot get put through the table.
Well, the announcers that ran from the fucking thing.
Oh god. Dude,
don't do that.
Did you see the chat just explode? Just go fake news.
Fake news. Yeah.
That was almost what we were talking about with Kappa.
200,000 people, dude.
Yeah,
like live
yeah.
And then more millions later on YouTube.
Nothing is the zeitgeist of all human accomplishment than a big dumb fake robot pick up a piece of like a girder and just be like, "Ho!" Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't do shit with that girder.
And I want to know how much of it is holding back due to pilot safety versus like it just doesn't move that fast, you know? Like, because you can clearly tell that guns do nothing in this type of battle.
Because
a paint gun is going to do not much.
The only thing
obscure your vision,
your vision.
The fucking funnel that came out for a half second was a good idea.
But a lot of things came out for a half second.
And I saw the fucking drone pop up and I thought
the drone was cool.
I thought, I'm like, oh shit.
It's
going to go flying to the wheels and detonate.
And then it didn't.
It just kind of landed and then, like, you know, put out some smoke, which is a good idea. But then when you saw the claw grab it, you're like, how many mistakes did they film until the claw successfully grabbed it out of the air? Like an hour, probably.
That's what I'm saying. I would watch Lucha Underground, but with robots. Where it's all fucking staged and has dumb storylines and is completely fake.
But like, the product is still exciting.
Yes.
As fake as it is, when Prince fucking Puma gets in the ring, he delivers an exciting product.
Yes.
And that's the problem here. It's not that it's staged. It's that it's not exciting enough either way. If it was real and boring, people would...
forgive it
more,
but not watch it.
They'd be like, oh, that shit's boring, but they'd forgive it more. Give it more slack because they're like, fair enough, the technology's just not there yet.
Yeah.
But then you go and you look at fucking Big Dog and you see that crazy super sprinting dog robot that's
But that thing costs like millions of dollars.
So why would you have that be destroyed in one episode?
It's like in the Captain America movie, like, why the fuck would we put you in the war? You cost so much.
It's insane.
We don't want you to get shot, idiot.
No, we need a giant, crazy Saudi prince to just bankroll infinite dollars.
Yeah. That's the only
so that thing. We have no problems with destroying cool
Please,
shit.
Saudi prince, save us from our tedium.
Right? Fund the cool shit so that we can destroy things without a worry about the cost. And things can move with a little bit more speed.
Yeah.
And hire pilots that don't mind taking a bump. Like, you're not going to die in that thing. And you're not going to throw a car.
No.
But if you're going to attack a thing, at least let it fall over a little bit.
I really don't even think pilots are needed. Like, there needs to be someone controlling the thing.
Yeah.
But just have them in a safe spot.
In a safe
somewhere.
Space somewhere. Like,
I'd rather see a machine get torn the fuck up.
To pieces with a pilot doing... I agree. And I think that could save it. And yeah. it would create like a problem with like, you know, perhaps like radio control accuracy or whatever. But we get closer to Gundam Build Fighters basically at that point. Where you get to stand on the side and the thing gets destroyed properly. Mm. And you can have a one-armed fight or like a cockpit get destroyed and it's fine. You know, that's a, that's another winning route. Maybe this new challenger in the form of the Monkey King from China or any of the other 20 robot masters... that have challenged Megabots.
One Must Fall 2097.
Basically.
Yeah.
You know, will lead to something nice. And they clearly pushed the league right away at the end of it. They were like, hey, guys, we want this to happen. So you can, it's the money ploy. They're doing them. It's the money ploy.
Also, I kind of think with the reception that it got towards the finale of the match, like you probably lost a lot of viewers for just the fakeness of that last thing.
Yeah.
And I'm just like hoping that, because I would like to watch more and see it improve, because it's like there is something there. Even with the problems that it had, I think some network retooling.
Did you?
Because if you have 200,000 people watching on Twitter, that's a lot.
Did you watch the did you watch the promo video they had of them doing a course?
No.
Okay, so they had a whole promo video of them doing like an obstacle course, right? And it was like right before it came out. And that was the scriptedest super like production value thing with a cool voiced commander going, "All right, boys, we got a mission for you today." Hit on it. And it was a whole cinematic thing.
Okay.
And it was basically showing you their goal was to like make this kind of fake robot mecha world thing. But the thing, the robot exists in real life, right? Mm-hmm. And
come on, Mad Cat.
Well, I more than anything, what I end up thinking is fucking monster truck rallies and Carnosaurus or Truckosaurus. And all that shit, and how, like, we have that, you know? And and it's basically, like, those are not real. Those are super fake, whatever, planned battles. But you can make this better while keeping it fake.
Yes, I think so, too.
And Robot Wars, the original stupid little lawnmower things, were a mix.
I love watching that back.
Because those were both fake and real at the same time.
Yeah.
They're fake in that you had to have tons of editing time cut out of the thing. They had to bring in stunt bots to make it exciting because the real ones would break down all the time. But
I couldn't stand when there was a kid on the team.
Get off my
TV screen.
But they were real in that the two people that brought their things would actually have to win somehow.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, that was a fucking...
I really, really quickly, as an aside... When I was in Cubs, which is basically like pre-scouts for a few years at home, basically like pre-scouts like in Canada, we had like Cub car races where they gave you a block of wood.
I was in Beavers.
Yeah, I was in Beavers too. They gave you a block of wood and you had to construct a car out of it, you know, add anything you want. But then we would have a big competition where they had this big track, which is basically just a downward slope. And then you'd try to win. Like, is your Cub car the fastest? And there was, like, allegations of maybe dads using illegal equipment to supplement the Cub cars. But very hush-hush. Like, I don't know, putting weighted LEDs inside the cars to give them more mass.
That's bullshit.
And some dads would do favors for other dads saying, just it weighs the same to me. And I made a Wolverine car. Like, it was yellow and blue, and it had Wolverine, like, the superhero Wolverine.
Did you collude, Matt?
No, I did not, because I didn't even know what a colluded meant.
Okay.
I was just like, I'll make a cool Wolverine car, and I fucking got wrecked every time, and everyone's Cub car was the fastest. And I was just like, what? And I saw the kid that beat my cars, like, slap his dad, like, give his dad a high five, like, yeah! And then, like... they dropped their Cub car and it just clunked on the ground because it was so fucking heavy and illegal.
Well,
there needs to be a Cub car show.
Well, maybe the spoiler sticking out the back was a clue. Maybe the muffler that was fucking letting off gas and the rumbling of the engine was a little bit of a clue.
Oh, the fact that it had shredding blades on its fucking wheels, shredding up my like Wolverine car, Wolverine mobile made with love and affection. Yeah.
That's unfair.
It was unfair. Fucking, I'm richer than that kid is now, I'll tell you that. Fucking, he's probably homeless.
We got some emails coming
we
in.
Do.
If you gotta,
I mentioned an email.
If you wanna
earlier,
tell us about how you cheated as a kid, you can write into superbestfriendcast@gmail.com. Dear Patrick, Matthew, and Woolsworth, Jason here. So the Destiny lore is actually pretty good.
Sure.
I won't summarize it. We don't have time for that.
No.
But it's dueling philosophies and shit you guys love. But the problem is that it's impossible to get to because it's all tucked away in the grimoire in one. And the actual world lore is still mostly in item descriptions in two.
Okay.
I guess what I'm asking is, if a game has an interesting story, but actually learning it requires dipping into art books, listening to interviews, maybe even going to a website that isn't part of the game, is it good if it's so poorly implemented that actually understanding it requires digging around in research materials like Nicolas Cage vehicle National Treasure?
points for the National Treasure. I haven't found a game yet that I'm like, yeah, I love digging to find that. I haven't found that game yet. I'd rather it all be in the product somewhere. It doesn't have to be in your face. Like, I think Souls games do it fine.
Yep.
It's just there. I've always been of like, I wish I could learn about Overwatch heroes rather than buying this fucking comic book that no one can get or find. I don't know where it is.
Overwatch is a pretty good example.
Where is it? Where's the thing? And I wish I didn't have to constantly play the game and hear one new voice clip that maybe might shed a light between two characters.
It's a cross-media event.
It's
man.
Almost like it's stories as a service. Fuck.
I feel like a good story is a good story no matter what. At the end of the day, when you put it all together, if it's a good story, you can't pretend it's not.
Oh, yeah, no.
It can be delivered in poor methods.
Yeah.
And I definitely feel that, yeah, the more you don't put in the thing, the more of a disservice it is, yeah. Right? Same goes for
games
movies.
Games as a disservice.
Games as a disservice, yeah.
Yeah, same as a movie.
Same
yeah.
for movies, right? I'll never forget that art book for, you know the one that makes it better. Prometheus.
Yeah.
Where yeah, it explains book, yeah. the dumb shit and goes and makes you go, oh, that would have been a lot better if you did that.
Yeah.
Right? And I think one
sometimes
of the
it makes the movie worse because you're like, why didn't you put that in there?
Yeah, and Overwatch is like it's good and it's good on its own, but like no, it definitely is, you know, like a thing where I'm like, oh, someone told me there's a Zarya comic out, and I was like, oh fuck, I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, there is.
And it's not like you boot up the game and then it says on the
yeah.
main menu, hey, go read
fucking
it.
Fucking Telltale it, Games it might be, will always tell you when yeah, there's a new DC.
It'll be there on the Blizzard launcher though, right? Sure. So you'll have to you'll see it on the Blizzard launcher along with what's his name? Jet Kaplan.
Yeah,
along with Kaplan's face.
Like Overwatch could use a glossary section in the extras or the options or something.
A wiki,
an encyclopedia
yep.
or something.
Yep.
Just to put all that stuff.
And that's the thing is if you at least have a dump section, it's yeah. better than nothing. Marvel Infinite has a dump section.
No, it does.
And it's just a glossary of random parts. It's like X-Buster, Chris's cool. Magnum. Whatever,
and,
you
MGS4
know.
MGS4 had
Rebellion.
Or MGS4 had the timeline and the little thing, the little extra.
MGS4 had an entire wiki.
Yeah.
And it was incredible.
In the game.
It was
in the
a
game.
It was a separate it, was piece it? Of software that you had to download.
Oh, yes, it was. See, that even is fine. It doesn't even have to be in the main game, but it has to be deliverable
on the
and
service.
Websites on your computer if you play yeah. Overwatch on PC don't count.
If you make a separate game or program or whatever and you release it alongside as a companion thing, that's fine too because it's at least on the same location. You
like
know?
Killer Instinct has that extra disc that launches an app that's in your games and app section for Killer Instinct extra shit.
Yeah.
So it has the documentary, has this, yeah. the soundtrack kind of, and it's got like art and whatever. Like that's fine too.
One that's on the in recent memory for me is Mirror's Edge Catalyst because
yeah.
When you play Mirror's Edge, like original especially, you get the story that's there and you're like, okay, whatever. And then there's the comic And then there's the other Mirror's Edge comic here, which fleshes things out a little bit. They're not like amazing, but they just give you a bit more context for what's going on.
Right.
And the game is constantly like, if you want to find out why Faith got locked up to begin with, print the comic book.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, man, I get it. Okay, cool, thanks. And then it never goes away. That's really annoying.
Yeah.
Because the game's constantly telling you. You know, it's like while I just said it's not like the game of like Overwatch tells you when the comic is out.
Yeah,
I don't mind getting a notification about it once, but don't make every fucking loading screen to tell me to go read the fucking comic. I read it. I fucking read it. Okay. And the second thing,
there should be a prompt that says I read it, and then you press it, and it's like okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then the second one is one of the most interesting things about Catalyst is. When you find the hidden parcels, you get pieces of world lore, right? And they're the most obscure things that no one is going after here.
Okay.
Like, and in a game like Catalyst, where the average person just didn't, just dropped it after, you know, playing it once or whatever, like, there's, you know, and I know a lot of people didn't like it, and that's fine. I still had fun with it, but... the secrets you find tell you about, okay, this is what the world was like before these megacorps were the government.
Right.
Right?
So couldn't it be even more removed from what's currently happening in the game?
Yeah. It's like, this is the gray lands.
Just world
this
building.
And it's just breaking down all these little tidbits about, like, the history of Mirror's Edge and, like, that world and why it is the way it is. And I found that stuff to be... infinitely more compelling than the story that took place in the game.
Right.
One of the fucking coolest things was, do you know why? I think I talked about it when I beat the game, but do you know why the city is so colorful and weird while being gray?
I think you told me, but I forgot why.
Because every corporation is represented by a color, and that corporation is also the government. Since this is like a, like almost like a capitalist dictatorship society.
Yeah.
And so like Kruger Sec represented by blue, for example, or Pirandello is blue. When you're in that area of the city, their colors are their brand. And that's why that's all blue.
Like, we own blue.
Yeah. Okay. And then another corporation is their brand is yellow or purple. And that corner of the city is that color. And that's why Mirror's Edge looks the way it does.
I thought it was just
that's the art style,
that's
right?
It's
easy to go, yeah, that is just the art style. It was a cool, bold choice, but it has lore implications that are like really well thought out. And I was like, fuck, that's really interesting.
It is.
And yeah, it was annoying that was in the game, but still buried so fucking deep that no one would have any idea or give a fuck about it, you know?
Like, fortunately, there's that Overwatch art book coming out. Maybe that has kind of, like, even that, even just, if it's not in the game, if not in a digital format, even just one sort of Bible / glossary art book, whatever it is, as long as it has that, it's like, yeah, that's fine too, I guess.
Yeah.
But that's like the last rung where I'm willing to kind of accept it, because I don't want to go to a... There's some of the game that did this really, really poorly where you have to go to several different things. It's like a few years ago. It was like you had to read, you can only read bios of the characters on a site. Then there was other shit. I don't know. But like it does, it's never optimal. And I'm like, I don't think anyone should design their game to be like that. Like either have no story at all or at least put your story easily reached. Because people do like reading about the lore and the world building. So. And that's why Dark Souls does it well, because you actively have to search throughout the game and look at your fucking surroundings to make your own conclusions.
Dude, worst comes to worst, you go play Ixard, and story mode is just a sit and watch mode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's literally just watching cutscenes.
I've always been meaning to.
With no gameplay.
To play through it.
Yeah, you just, you know, Arcane is there with some extra story too, but they put the thing in there if you really want to know what's up. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. That's I hope that answers your question, dude. We got one coming in from Ryan, and he says, "Oh, excuse me, Kai."
Okay.
When you send me the email and I see your name, and then at the bottom it's tagged with like, "Oh, you're tagged," and I'm like, "I don't know, dude. What do you want me to do?" All right.
What do you want me to do with this?
He says. Finding you guys since the Downpour playthroughs, been following your main channel and individual stuff. Keep it up. Since it's almost it's almost Halloween, what are your some of your favorite creature designs?
Relic.
The Kathaga.
The Kathaga.
Yep.
Way up there.
Way up there.
I want to go outside my regular wheelhouse of like predators, aliens, and such. Really, really horrifying creature design monster was at the end of the first wreck. You know, record the Spanish horror movie. It's the and it's an actor that's like built like this. They're incredibly thin. I think they have some, you know, some maybe not illness but condition or whatever, that they're incredibly tall and lanky. And that was like a drooling, hairless, just scrags of hair and like topless, vaguely female, and just that thing was that zombie monster, or whatever, in Wreck was always kind of struck me as like, fuck, that's rough. And the Scissor Walker as a more lately from the Scissor Walker character in the game Nightcry, I thought was also really strong design because it was designed by the guy that created Pyramid Head, so that's a strong one.
Everything from Pan's Labyrinth?
Yes, obviously.
100% of the content in Pan's Labyrinth. And
a lot of the stuff in Hellboy, both Hellboys is strong too because it's the exact same shit.
And the parent monster from SMT. I don't know if it was Nocturne or not, but there's one of the SMT games.
Parent.
There's one of the SMT games where you fight a boss that is the amalgamated bodies of the parents of the characters.
I can't see how that would be.
It is horrifyingly
emotionally
awesome.
Disturbing.
It is fucking real.
Parent ball.
Yeah. So that's cool. Not to mention, while my brain is in there, the Brahmin in DDS is fucking cool as well. There's some good shit.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah, but Del Toro, really.
Del Toro, yeah. There's lots of stuff, really. It's blinded by choice.
Yeah.
And like different versions of Cthulhu, I think, are stronger than others. There's some that I'm like, meh. And there's some that I'm like, oh, yeah. Like Vince McMahon in the wrestling chair, where I've seen different versions of him. I'm like, oh, I can fall off my chair. So
right. Okay. Let's take one from where'd you go?
Miss you so.
Dear shivering in
anticipation. Now you're reading the question. Now you're like,
Patient cast. If given the opportunity to star in your own harem anime, would you? Are there any downsides?
Wait, star in it?
Yeah.
Like as a voice?
Yeah. No, like be in real life.
But like a live action show.
Create a harem anime like, situation, but in real life for you.
No. Fuck no.
What's the downside?
That's too much. I can handle one woman. I can't even do that.
If you would you like some money? Yes, please.
Mo money equals mo problems, Willie.
The rules are this. If you choose 6 to 10 characters from any media to join you in your home, in addition, you get one superpower that makes you extra special. This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
This is what I'm talking about. You get one superpower that makes you extra special. You can live in this harem world as long as you want. But as soon as you have sex with any of them, you're transported back to the real world, post-coitus, never to return.
Yeah, no, I'd rather live in that house.
Would you do it?
Would
you take this ability to have a superpower and then have sex with a fictional character?
But then you get kicked out.
Yeah?
No, I wouldn't.
No, you just continue living life?
Yeah.
All right.
That's far more interesting.
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
I would do the free thing with no downsides and then go back to living my normal life, yes? Fantastic.
Okay.
Well done.
It's like this.
Good job.
But if you leave, you die. Well, I think I'll stay.
Like, what do you What do you like? Ask yourself that question and think about what the answer would be, my friend.
Yeah.
Kevin says, super best sumo friends. You guys are doing great. Keep super it up. Thank you very much. What shopkeeper in a video game would you buy from? And what item would you buy?
Can we say someone that's not RE4 shopkeeper?
Because that's the fun guy.
Yeah.
My answer is Drebin from MGS4. Ooh. And the item I would buy is a Phoenix Down.
Mm.
All right. Well, yeah, that's obviously a winner. Sure. You get to come back to life and you hang out with a cool guy.
There's a lot of shopkeepers from Zelda I would love to buy stuff from. Bet there's so many I'm kind of going through my Zelda shopkeeper Rolodex.
Was that girl at the tavern in Nightcry a shopkeeper?
She was the beast hunt. Yeah, I would say yes. And Battle Chasers Night War.
Night War. I keep saying Nightcry.
It's fine. Nightcry is a game I just talked about. Yeah. But she's not a shopkeeper, but she serves the same function. So I'd say yes. That's our current go-to.
That's the go-to.
What's her name? Theta? Theta the Beastmaster? Thera? Forget her name. You'll know her when you see her.
You'll see her when you know her. what item would you buy?
What item would I buy? Phoenix Downs, you know, it's hard to beat that. I like an apple gel. I always want to know what an apple gel tastes like in the Tales of Games.
Mm.
It just gives you health back. But I'm like, apple gel. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some fucking Bayonetta item or weapon that we're like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The fucking anklet of Mahakala or whatever. Bracelet of Mahakala. I don't know. Like, at the end of that, like, there's some probably...
An item that lets me always Ukemi.
Yeah, like, there's probably some incredible, like, you know...
Morph Ball? Buy a Morph Ball? Roll out of bed?
The auto parry item in Cuphead, so that anything that hits me, I just parry instantly.
Yeah, I talked about it. It needs to be more countering.
Yeah, so there's that. You can do, you know, I'm sure there's an awesome, like, unstoppable, like, weapon that lets you be a god if you really just, you know.
If you apply yourself.
Yeah, like an undo button or something ridiculous.
Yeah, you know? Oh, the Dagger of Time. I want to buy the Dagger of Time.
Sure, yep, yep. That's not a bad one. That's it. Telma's way up there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There's some good shopkeepers. All right, well, sorry for that answer.
I thought we did okay.
Jacob wants to know if we played the Siphon Filter games.
I played Logan Shadow. I played the PS2 port, and I think it was the PSP version of the game, and then it ported it to the PS2, something like that. I played that. I know there's like later Siphon Filter games are actually quite, quite good, but when it started, no, I was like, fuck this fucking Metal Gear ripoff. Man, that's so gross. And I was like of that attitude for a while, but then I looked it up and I'm like, yeah, there's some actually decent games. Like when you get away from Metal Gear and that fanboyism for a bit when Metal Gear was so hot, you're just like, yeah, fuck anything else. Because there was a million fucking Metal Gear ripoffs at the time.
In the year 2000, back when the arcades were taking a lot of my allowance, we needed to find ways to stretch our dollars. And what we used to do was
burn copies of Siphon Filter.
We used to go up to Palais des Cartes, aka Card Palace, and we would play so Microplay had $2 for half an hour.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Palais des Cartes was $2 for as long as you wanted.
Wow.
Until...
That's like seedy almost.
Until the guy noticed and like, you know, would be like, hey, someone else wants to play. Basically.
What do you mean the guy noticed? Like, well, you could play until he noticed.
You just came on and paid $2 to sit down and play a game. And then you just sat there, and then as long as no one else came up and said, "Hey, I want to play," you should just keep playing.
Okay.
So it was
lack security. Right?
Whereas, like, it was cool.
Oh yeah,
because we got to play when the Dreamcast came out, because 2000, and we got to play fighting games that were across the street, but for longer on less money.
Mm.
And whereas over at Microplay, they put a timer that fucking started and beeped as soon as you sat down.
Strict.
And it was aggressive as fuck.
Mm.
So
it's like a bouncer that throws your ass out.
When we weren't playing the 2K sports games and we weren't playing the fighting games,
you were playing the Siphon Filter.
We were playing Siphon Filter 2 multiplayer.
Ah, I didn't even know.
And I have no experience with the single player game, but those multiplayer fucking sessions were intense.
I forgot that Pandora Tomorrow and Splinter Cell had a really fun multiplayer mode. Spies versus Mercs. That's what it was called. Oh, everyone loved that mode.
Also, the name, Siphon Filter, was always fun to say.
Yeah.
And Brandon wants to know, based on talking about keto boxing and trying to improve health overall, what the health goals are for everybody, if they have any. I think since it was kind of geared at me, I'll answer that. Trying to mainly get out of obese BMI range.
That's always a goal.
That's the goal. Because you're like, I don't look or feel obese, but it says I am on this chart.
Yeah.
So let's get it into...
That's also strictly accurate.
Let's get it into the normal colors, and that's about it. So that means getting down to, I don't know, quite a bit less than what I am right now.
Yeah. Me, the same. I'd love... Like, I've gone back up, gone back down. You know, I would... You know, right now I'm like 240-ish. I want to like get rid of 40 pounds. Like that's kind of my goal over like another year. Cause now's the time, not getting any older, any younger. I'm always getting older, not getting any younger. So I'd want to do that. And, yeah, like the other thing is like, got to drink more water. Like, we were talking about this in New York. It's like, never stop drinking water. And what was your thing? You're like, you'll look at a bottle of water and you're like, I don't even want to drink this now. I'm just, I don't know. I'm done. You drink so much. In New York, we were just talking about water and how you're supposed to be ingesting water. Like, literally never stop drinking water.
And you'll
look at it and be like, I'm full of water.
I'm
just done.
I am constantly full of water.
So yeah, I gotta drink more.
I guess that's that. Yeah, not trying to get ripped and... Certainly not trying to become a professional boxer. But just, well, you know, want to know how to hit the bags properly and spar with people for fun. But yeah, outside of that, it's really just...
Maybe kill a man.
But not die. Is the
you
goal.
Not die.
Yeah, not
yeah,
die.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's noble.
Your fitness goal should always be not dying.
Not die. What's your diet? Not die.
Good. I like that.
I like that.
It's good.
Not die forever.
Yep.
All right. Yeah. Email's good.
Email's good.
I read an
article talking about how it's not that sugar gives you cancer. It just makes the cancer cells grow faster if you have cancer.
Right.
And I was like, ah. Well, good thing I'm off the sugar, but woof.
What is coming up? Pat should be back like in a day or two. So we're gonna have to record more Marvel versus Capcom. You and I did actually a bunch of one-offs that haven't even gone up yet. We took a look at Fight and Rage.
Carvel versus Mapcom.
We took a look at Fight and Rage, took a look at Troll and I, and then there was another one we played. What was it? Still hasn't gone up either. I can't remember. But Shitstorm continues. We have a few more left to record of that. And then once November, a
couple other one-offs we should probably get under our belts.
Yeah, definitely. Then in start of November, you'll be seeing another horror-y LP. And then the last episode of Mark Echo should be going up soon too. Wah! Wish it was longer. Wish I could have played it more. How about that ending?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the fucking that's the tease you're leaving here. Oh my god. Wow.
Wasn't that satisfying?
Wow.
Any games?
Few words.
Any games coming out? Any stuff that's coming out this week you're looking forward to?
Mario Odyssey?
Mario fucking Odyssey. I'm gonna leave all these third party like AAAs like alone until the Xbox One X comes out, because then I don't want to reinstall everything on two systems twice. I don't care what the transfer process is. I'm just going to not buy them until the X comes out. Then I'm just going to get the X and install them there, like Assassin's Creed Origins and Wolfenstein New Colossus. So then I'm going to be fine playing Mario Odyssey. Also, the game that kind of fucking made me look a little bit dumb on Twitter, it was like 3 days before it was re-announced to coming out, I was like, man, does anyone remember that Mummy Demastered game? That's never coming out. Sure hope WayForward got fired for that. That's coming out tomorrow.
Well done.
So it actually looks quite good, so I want to give that a go. And Hidden Agenda, the non-VR game that the makers of Until Dawn made, which is literally what we wanted out of David Cage games, where you play as a cop.
You know, I'm talking about The Inpatient?
No, this is Hidden Agenda, a game where you play as both a cop and a lawyer, and you try to track down a serial killer, and everyone plays it like Fibbage with their phones, where one of you is actually working with the killer, and you are doing things with your phone.
Oh, it's
your
like
phone.
A werewolf game.
Yeah.
Is there a TV involved?
Yes, you're playing it on the PS4, and everyone just connects with their phones.
Oh, it's both. I see.
So it's a very locally played game.
Okay.
One of you has a hidden agenda.
I see.
So it's a
social board game type.
Yeah, you can also not play it like this at all and just play it like a straight up thriller action game.
It's like a third person.
Yes.
So what are the people on their phones doing?
Because when there's choices, moral choices to be made, all of you kind of, I think, vote for what the player to do. But one person is like counter voting. One person wants you to do.
Okay.
One person is chosen to be the person with a hidden agenda. And I'm doing a bad job explaining.
Yeah. Do they have to watch hours of game story go by, or is it like a mini?
I didn't play it. I don't know for sure. It got buried in E3 news because that company announced three games simultaneously at E3.
There's a lot of questions I have now that you're talking about people on their phones playing with you. I'm like, do you have to call people over so that you can do Mission 5? You know what I mean?
If you want to, I'm not sure if it's like a drop in, drop out thing.
Is it just a half an hour story, or, you know, like
it's longer than that.
What's the deal?
Longer than that. But okay. It comes out tomorrow.
Are we just doing like Telltale
Liam,
crowd voting?
Liam wants to do a stream of it. Maybe we can go over and play with him, because the more people with that, bear. I think it's like it supports up to like four other people or something.
Yeah, if you'll have me, I'm down. Liam also told me about The Invisible Hours.
Yes.
So I'm going to go look at that.
He was raving about that. That was that's like an adventure game in PSVR. That's just that's an actual movie. You beat it in 2 hours. But it's like Clue, where you just walk around saying who did it. You're an investigator or something.
You know what else is an actual movie?
Yes.
Thor Ragnarok.
Which is coming out next weekend.
Oh, I thought it was this
November 3rd.
Oh, good. Then I'm not going to. Okay, cool.
You're not going to be at Canada Cup.
Yeah.
November 3rd, 98% Rotten Tomatoes. Really looking forward to it.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's the closest we're going to get to World War Hulk.
It literally is World War Hulk, I assume.
I know. But like, there's going to be no Hulk 3 World War Hulk.
Who didn't send Hulk to the planet? Who did send Hulk to the planet that's not in the MCU? Mr. Fantastic.
Mr. Fantastic, Doctor Strange.
Oh, Black Bolt. Didn't Black Bolt, wasn't he part of it?
Mr. Fantastic, Doctor Strange.
Iron Man.
What's his name? Professor X?
No.
No? Is that wrong?
Was it Black Bolt?
And it's the Illuminati. The
Illuminati.
The Illuminati.
Smart guys.
There's
one more. We're going to get this wrong.
Yeah, of course. That's what we do. That's what we're here for.
Everyone's screaming at us about how wrong about death we were in Marvel vs. Capcom.
What?
Death is constantly not a skeleton and constantly talks.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Just when we knew her, she was just silent skeleton lady.
Oh, yeah?
Titties.
Oh.
Yeah.
My mistake.
No, don't look at the comments of that Marvel video.
I haven't yet, actually.
Yeah, everyone's just like, you fucking idiots.
Someone was making a reference to something about death on Twitter, but like about the podcast and like, oh my God, I can't wait or whatever. But I was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, it was about the last part of Marvel versus Capcom that went up.
Because of the female form?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, okay. Well,
yeah. Well, we get everything else.
My mistake. Anyway, Namor, Black Bolt, Professor X, Tony Stark. I was right. I said Professor X. I got that right.
Well, I said Black Bolt and I was right. I didn't know about Namor.
Namor.
Jeez. Yeah, he's not in the MCU, so yeah, he doesn't count then.
Susan can't get enough.
Everyone wants to fuck fishmen nowadays.
Strangely attractive.
It's the four fish sex kings. Aquaman, Sidon, guy from Shape of Water, and Namor.
What about the original strangely attractive for a fishman?
Who no one even knows Riccio anymore.
Riccio.
What's
he started
what's
it.
What's his name?
All
what's
bad.
His name what's his name in Japan?
I just said it.
No, what he has a Japanese name.
All Bath.
Yes.
Riccio.
Yeah. That's a different name. In Japan, he's called Albath. In America, he's called Riccio.
Yeah, and you asked me the question after I answered it.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
I literally said it. All right.
Anyway.
Yes. This is the fish sex gods await you in Valhalla.
With their fishy dongs.
Thank you.